The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday, December 11th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, for the second morning in a row, fire crews battled a blaze in Philadelphia. Yesterday, 57 residents were displaced from the Overbrook Gardens apartments when 200 firefighters were called to the scene of the fire. This morning, a fire inside a Rittenhouse Square high-rise apartment building had residents evacuated. Fire crews were called to the Dorchester at Rittenhouse condominiums on the 200 block of West Rittenhouse Square near 19th and Locust at 2 a.m. Firefighters heard a cry for help when they arrived to the seen a woman either in or nearby the building was screaming for help to get her out. Three people were taken to the hospital for treatment and smoke inhalation. They are listed in stable condition, and a firefighter was also seen being carried away on a stretcher. Though his injuries are not known, he was conscious and appeared to be in good spirits at the time.
Haven't heard any stories about high-rise fires in ages around here, man. That can get bad real quick.
So well, they let them back into the building, so I think they were able to contain it, get it out, and
yeah.
About an hour ago, they let residents go back inside. They were in other, like, hotel lobbies and other apartment building lobbies because they were out for a few hours and it was cold last night.
Yeah.
The cause of the fire is under investigation. The Norristown Police Department is warning people of a violent serial attacker who they say is targeting unsuspecting women. According to police, the warning applies specifically to the west end of town. Authorities say the suspect has been approaching women, throwing them to the ground and robbing them. The violent attacks have occurred as many as five times in just 1 week. Norristown Police Chief Mark Talbot says he comes up from behind, either grabs them from around the neck or the shoulders and takes them to the ground. Chief Talbot says the aggressive attacks happen extremely fast and are usually over in less than 2 minutes. People in the area of Airy Street and Hawes Avenue, the scene of the first strong arm attack, say the string of incidents is terrifying. Chief Talbot says his department is especially concerned because they feel this man is more focused on using his force against these random victims than actually trying to steal from them.
2 minutes of an attack would seem to last forever if you were the one being attacked.
Yeah, if you're in the middle of it. Yeah, so they're trying to get this guy now off the street. So if you have any information, contact the Norristown Police Department. A New Jersey woman was cleaning her bathroom 9 years ago when her 20th anniversary diamond ring fell into the toilet and down the drain. Her husband sprang for a duplicate, but Paula Stanton says she always missed the original ring. 2 years ago, she even spoke to a local public works department to see if maybe they had seen anything in the course of their work. She was told she was told no at the time. Then suddenly, when the couple returned from a Thanksgiving trip, there was a note at her door to call the public works department. There are some 1,100 manholes in Summers Point. Well, crew chief Ted Gogol saw a small, shiny something on the shoulder of a pipe leading to Stanton's house. He plucked it from the sand and muck. So he says he cleaned it off, and there it was. It was Paula Stanton's lost ring from 9 years ago.
It's miraculous.
Yeah.
That ring.
And there was a finger in it.
Yeah. That ring, we cleaned all the poof off all of it, too. So
that ring didn't want to leave her family, said Gogol. There are so many things that could have happened. It could have been washed away. It could have been crushed, but it was just meant to be. Stanton considers this a miracle and a wonderful 2018 Christmas present. She vows
it's a Christmas miracle!
She vows that she will never let the ring out of sight again. In sports this morning. The Sixers beat the Detroit Pistons 116 to 102 last night in South Philly. Joel Embiid scored 24 points in his return to the lineup after a one-game absence. Ben Simmons added 18 points, and the Sixers beat Detroit for the second time in 4 days. Jimmy Butler left the game in the first half with a strained groin and did not return. The Sixers are at home again tomorrow night when they'll host they host the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow. In Monday Night Football, the Seahawks beat the Minnesota Vikings last night in Seattle. Bobby Wagner blocked a field goal midway through the fourth quarter in a 21-7 win that pushed Seattle closer to the playoffs. Chris Carson followed the block kick with a two-yard touchdown run with 2:53 left, and Justin Coleman capped off the Seahawks' fourth straight win with a 29-yard fumble return for a touchdown 18 seconds later. The Flyers are off until tomorrow night, when they'll continue their road trip through Canada with a game in Calgary against the Flames. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you, Kathy. When you play that Oh My Balls clip, Dr. Mike loves that clip.
He loves it.
And his version of it. Oh My Balls!
We do have a clean Dr. Mike, don't we?
He was at the,
Oh My Balls!
At the Camp Out for Hunger saying that. I love it. Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Tuesday. Here we are once again. What do we have going on? We got a lot of things today on the program. We have Real Philly Deli Tour. Casey's friends from Dietz and Watson are stopping by today.
Oh, it's wonderful.
The deli on 4th and Conshohocken, was that your most recent stop, Case?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it was. We, I mean, it was so long ago because we had to do it before the Camp Out for Hunger. Yeah, so, you know, that week, obviously, we were busy. So, it was...
It's right in Conshohocken, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Kathy was so close, she didn't come down.
No, but you know what? I've been there. Actually, the owner of that deli passed away last year, and the girl, I guess she was a longtime employee. She purchased it from him, and I think that's who Casey went out and met with.
Yep. All right, cool. Well, we'll have a nice spread here, and we'll offer it all to Tobias Forge of Ghost, who is going to be stopping by today. Maybe he's a deli.
Goody.
He's a deli fan. I don't know. But he'll be here. They have a show tonight at the Tower Theater. So Tobias is coming in around 9 o'clock this morning.
He who eats the deli meat of the devil shall writhe in the fires of hell.
So have some deli.
Sure.
So he'll be in this morning. And we are also going to have on the program a gal named Betsy Sneller. We read about her, and she's done some studying into the Philadelphia accent, the Philly accent. Apparently, it's starting to disappear on some levels. And
it's very interesting.
She's going to give us, they have theories as to why. But the very specifics, I started to read about it in the article. Yeah. I'm like, I need someone to actually explain some of this to me because there are very specific sounds that she is...
it's hard to read a sound.
Well, that she's pointed out. Yeah. There were certain pronunciations and the examples that were being made. I'm like, it would be better if we have somebody to tell us about it. So she's going to be on a little bit later on. We'll see what she has to say about that, which is kind of interesting because Philly's got its sound.
Absolutely.
Its very own accent. So she's going to give us some of the information on that. So we'll talk to her, and we have Christmas Miracle passes to give away. We'll do those in a little while, and some more stuff coming up on today's program. Should be solid. We're going to take a quick break. I have a whole lot of entertainment stories that I am dying to tell you about.
Yeah!
And a stupid question to give some things away, which we'll return and get to. Toot sweet. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Cool gifts are what Worldwide Stereo is all about. Wrap a genuine surprise and wow someone all year long. Montgomeryville, Ardmore, and online at worldwidestereo.com.
Hey gang, this holiday season, your special someone is going to unwrap and unwind if you get them a gift card from Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa. And there's a special offer. You can save $10 on spa gift cards at regular pricing, or you can buy a holiday spa package and you get a free massage or facial gift card with that. Go to handandstone.com today for all the information.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
If you love paying for shipping, you're going to hate Steven Singer. Free shipping both ways, making return and exchanges easy. Visit him online at IHateStevenSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Let's ask a stupid trivia question and see if you can get this correct for a $50 Star Restaurants gift card. The question I have for you this morning, Casey, you would answer this in a heartbeat because it's an easy one about poker. But professional poker players in the World Series of Poker play to win what item in addition to the money? 215-263 WMMR, okay?
I don't know.
professional.
I don't know.
I haven't heard that in a while. Professional poker players in the World Series of Poker play to win what item in addition to the money? 215-263-WMMR. Let's even know the answer. It is December 11th. Birthdays today on this date include guitarist of the band Avenged Sevenfold. Zachy Vengeance.
Zachy Vengeance.
Yes.
That's his real name?
That's his real name.
No way.
He's named after Saint Zachy.
Yeah. Case, I have no idea. I don't know if Zachy is fake or Vengeance is fake.
I'm guessing both are.
Whatever. but he is celebrating his 37th birthday today, Mr. Zachy Vengeance. Happy birthday to you, sir. Also from the world of rock, Nikki Sixx of Motley Crue and 6 a.m. And a big one for him. He's 60 years old today.
60 years old today. And that Motley Crue documentary, not documentary, docudrama is coming out about the band.
Biopic. Yeah. It's called The Dirt. And they are working on it and have recorded some fresh stuff for it.
I like him.
It should be interesting. I like him, too. We've had him on the show. I've met him at the MMRBQ.
Solid interview.
Decent guy.
Gregarious.
Got a lot of stories, obviously, and actually he's written a lot of great songs. But I'm hoping that if they're going to do a movie about this, that they do it justice, and it's not a cookie-cutter biopic about a rock band. You know what I mean?
They're taking chances. For example, the guy playing him is Louis Anderson.
Wow.
Which I think is totally...
the stretch.
Out of left field. But maybe that's brilliant.
But Nikki celebrates his 60th birthday today. Happy birthday to you, Nikki Sixx. The next birthday is... she's my latest obsession, I think.
Yeah?
Yes, a bit of a crush on Hailee Steinfeld.
Yeah.
And she's in that movie Bumblebee that you were just talking about, Steve.
I know. Oh, sorry. You were
no, he was just talking about the...
96% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes.
They're saying, the reviews say, and many of them say, this is the Transformers movie that 80s fans of the Transformers have wanted all along.
Oh, Get Out. Okay. And is Michael Bay behind it?
He is the producer, but he's not the director.
Okay, good. Because I don't care for his directing style. She is available for an interview next week, and what really stinks about it is it looks like it's falling on the same day as A Christmas Miracle.
Get her out there.
Yeah, I know, right?
Jesus, we would do that, right?
No, it's a phoner.
It's a phone interview.
Get the phone out there.
Probably get a phone
Let's
out
do
there.
It.
Maybe, yeah, we'll talk about that. But she's in the Pitch Perfect movies, and in Pitch Perfect 3, there's like six really good-looking girls in this, and I whenever there are scenes of them singing, I can't stop watching her.
Well, she came out, I was used to her from True Grit. And
yeah,
she came out on an award show.
The little girl in True Grit, yep.
And it's like,
say what? And she's in a pretty good movie called The Edge of 17, and she's growing into a fine young woman. She's 20.
She's a fine young woman.
22 years old today.
Because, I'm sitting at home with Joy, and we watch the movie True Grit. The award show comes on, and I see her, and she's a full-grown woman, and I said, Joy, you're going to have to excuse me. I need to go to the bathroom and play with myself. Because I'm old, I can say things like that unchecked, and no one cares.
You don't mince words anymore. I respect that. About you, Reege. And
I'm going to go rub a little Reege's out.
Oh, my God. Oh,
little Reege.
Yeah, little Reege. I'm going to create a co-anchor. I'm going to find my next Ripper.
Oh my God.
Dripper.
Hailee Steinfeld is 22. Terry Garr, the actress.
Love her.
Great comedic actress, man. And dramatic actress in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, remember?
Yes, but brilliant comedic actress.
Oh, man.
Wonderful.
I told you guys it was a few weeks before Halloween. My son wanted to put on Young Frankenstein. I'm like, I know it's Mel Brooks. I don't know if you like it or not. We sat and watched it. And I'm so glad that he made me watch that because I forgot how much I loved that movie.
It's brilliant.
And she's great in it.
She's so good. And that was...
she's so pretty, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A knockout. She was the psycho.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the last birthday, Rita Moreno. The actress is 87 years old. And
mega talent.
She is going to be in the next edition of Worldwide
Stereo. Worldwide Stereo.
Worldwide Stereo.
The movie.
We're doing a movie about them, huh?
West Side Story.
Oh. I like to be at the stereo shop. Yeah. Looking for me at the stereo shop. Everything's free in this.
I have fond memories of her from the Electric Company when I was a kid.
She was on the same cast with Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
And, I loved it. But she's great in that movie. And she is an EGOT. She's one of the earliest EGOTs.
Yeah, she's won the Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony. Yeah, she's 87 years old today, Rita Moreno. And this is a fairly current picture that we're looking at her. She looks phenomenal for 87 years old.
Preston, she's on that reboot or reimagining of One Day at a Time, but it's with a Latina family.
Oh. Okay. Happy birthday to all those celebrating birthdays today. Let's see if we can get an answer to this stupid question. Professional poker players in the World Series of Poker play to win what item in addition to the money? 215-263-WMMR. Let's go to Frank. See if he knows the answer. Good morning, Frank.
Rattlers.
Frank, what is the answer? What do they play for?
They play for the coveted bracelet.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Bracelet. Frank, you got it right. Hang on the line. We're going to get your information, and we're going to give you a $50 Star Restaurants gift card. And you can light up the holiday with gift cards from Star Restaurants, redeemable at 37 Star locations, and it's a gift that everyone can enjoy. Let's start with Meghan Markle.
Okay? Yes.
Over the weekend. Thomas Markle opened his mouth after weeks of relative quiet.
Again, we keep saying if he were to shut up for a while, things would probably be okay.
We spoke about this yesterday. He was angry about the wall of silence his daughter, Meghan, and her husband, Prince Harry, had erected between them, weighed in on the rumored feud that Meghan is having with her sister-in-law, Kate Middleton, and shared old letters that she wrote him. In a particularly cringeworthy... cringeworthy aside, he claims that Meghan and first husband Trevor gave out baggies of marijuana to their wedding guests. He said, it's illegal, but it's no big deal in Jamaica. He said, it's almost customary down there. I don't smoke weed, and to the best of my knowledge, nor does Meghan. I don't know what I did with mine. I think I gave it away. I kept the bag, and I use it to keep the sea air off one of my Emmys, he said. He's an Emmy winner?
What? What?
Well, you know what? He was in lighting. I know that.
Was he?
Yeah. So he was a lighting director.
Why would you listen? He thinks this is the way to smooth over things.
There we go. Nick got it. In 1975, he received a Chicago Midwest Emmy Award for outstanding achievement for individual excellence, non-performers for his lighting design work on the Channel 11 Made in Chicago program. So it was a local Emmy.
There we go.
So he name checks his local Emmy in that
he uses his and besmirches her in one. It's a double threat.
Come on, dude. Meghan is
no wonder she doesn't want him around.
She's horrified by her father's continued conversations with the press, and according to a source close to her, has told him that she won't speak with him until he stops talking to the press.
There's going to come a point in time when somebody over there is going to send a little memo over to MI6.
Meghan made it clear.
Kill him with his own Emmy.
That they could only have a relationship if he kept the silence, a friend said. She told him that he couldn't speak to the press. Plain and simple, but he keeps doing that, and she feels that she can't trust him. Makes sense to me.
Yeah. It keeps getting reported, though. You know, he's going to... I was watching in Fred Claus. There's a great sequence where, they have the siblings. It's a support group for the brothers of famous people. So Fred Claus is there, his brother Santa Claus. They have Roger Clinton, talking about Bill Clinton. They have Stephen Baldwin.
Yeah.
It's a funny scene. But eventually, it drops off.
Meanwhile, on the home front, Meghan and Harry will lose their trusted aide, Samantha Cohen, next year, according to reports. Cohen became their private secretary and chief of staff over the summer. She will reportedly leave after a replacement is found.
You know, the real... rub in the face there is that she's marrying Thomas Markle.
Oh, yeah. That's a bit of a
it's a bit of a yes, absolutely.
The mother of three was previously Queen Elizabeth's assistant, private secretary, and press spokeswoman. And this news comes on the heels of Meghan's assistant, Melissa Tubati, leaving after 6 months in the fall, and rumors of her being a difficult and demanding boss. So I don't know if they
Troubles you guys have had over the years looking for, like, nannies.
Yep.
You know, you're looking for an assistant who every time they turn around is being offered money to pay for secrets concerning the royal family.
Yeah, yeah. In a revealing new interview with the New York Times, Megan Fox says that she didn't speak out during the Me Too movement, not because she wasn't a victim herself, but because she didn't believe that the public found her to be relatable or likable.
She also thought it was the number two.
No. She said, I just didn't think based on how I'd been received by people and by feminists that I would be a sympathetic victim.
Interesting. I mean, pretty self-aware.
It is.
I agree. She realizes that, you know, and I think she's right. She said, and I thought if ever there were a time where the world would agree that it's appropriate to victim shame someone, it would be when I came forward with my story. Fox knows from experience that her stories won't always be embraced. In a 2009 interview with Wonderland magazine, she said Transformers director Michael Bay upset her when he told her to, quote, be sexy on set. But she also made a remark likening Bay to Hitler on his sets, which overshadowed her other allegations. In another interview with Jimmy Kimmel later that year, she complained that at age 15 on the set of Bad Boys 2, Bay ordered her to dance under a waterfall in 6-inch heels, and that also wasn't embraced. She said, I don't want to say this about myself, but let's say that I was ahead of my time and so people weren't able to understand. Instead, I was rejected because of qualities that are now being praised in other women coming forward. And she said that because of her experience, she feels as though she'll always be just out of the collective understanding. So we all have weird habits. Jennifer Aniston, hers is watching television while naked.
Really?
Yes, I like that. The Ellen, I mean, I don't
how
like
about just a shirt off?
I like to do it myself, but the Ellen DeGeneres show, on the Ellen DeGeneres show, the host challenged her 49-year-old pal to a round of burning questions.
Mm.
And DeGeneres said, besides making love, showering, or swimming, what is something else that you have enjoyed doing naked? And she said, I watch TV. And when Ellen expressed incredulity. That's a stupid freaking word.
It is a stupid word.
That's a dumb word. What does it mean?
Incredulous.
All right. I mean, okay. Never mind.
Incredulity?
Yes.
Incredulity.
Whatever.
Somebody had a spelling test.
Let's just face it. There's some dumb words out there.
Yeah. How about when Ellen asked why?
Yeah.
She said, is that weird? I mean, at night you get into bed, you watch TV. And later she also admitted to watching TV naked and sunbathing, nude sunbathing.
What do you do naked around the house besides the normal showering and walking from room to room if you got to, you know?
There's nothing that I'm like, wow, I really need to be naked for this.
Yeah.
You know, nothing I can think of.
Not Jenga or anything?
No. I swim naked sometimes.
Oh, in your pool?
Well, that's skinny dip. And you know what? That's good.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It feels nice.
It's relaxing. Yeah. It's nature. I swim naked in your pool and I love it.
We all do.
No, I'll do that when, if nobody's around.
When the kids have their friends over.
Naked? Yeah.
Oh, God. You know.
Hey, kids!
Three things that Aniston does every day. She says, brush my teeth, take a shower, and pray.
Gosh, she's so cool.
Now, here's cool. Biggest act of rebellion as a teen, sneaking out and going dancing.
Ooh. Oh my God. She's like Ren in Footloose.
That's right. And her first celebrity crush was Sean Cassidy. So she admitted those things, yes.
Wait.
Sean Cassidy was he was on the Hardy Boys.
Okay, because David Cassidy is the one I'm thinking of.
Right, that was my wife's crush. Yeah. Massive crush on David Cassidy.
Yeah, Sean Cassidy was on the Hardy Boys, and he also had a hit with Met Her on a Monday, I'm a hot standstill. Did you run, 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 did you run, run? And that was his only musical hit.
Is he related?
My sister had a crazy crush on him. Yes. Are they related?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. My crush from that realm was the guy who played Reuben Kincaid.
Oh, Reuben.
Yeah.
From the Partridge family. Yeah. Well, he was
you
very
like
paternal.
Old,
yeah. Sarah Hyland has long been open about her ups and downs in the health department, and now the Modern Family star is revealing that she had a second kidney transplant after her first one failed.
Listen to this, Kathy.
It's major.
This is a... I had, you would never have any idea until obviously she relays the information that she was going through stuff this traumatic.
Yeah. She said, we did all these tests and all these treatments to try to save the kidney. She was telling Self Magazine for their latest digital cover. Christmas break, New Year's, Thanksgiving, my birthday, all of that spent in the hospital. Ultimately, all the interventions failed, and she found herself struggling with suicidal thoughts as she contemplated another major surgery. Uh-huh. In the past 16 months, she had six surgeries to combat various health issues. And she credits her relative peace of mind to the support of her family, friends, fans, and boyfriend, Wells Adams. She said he was texting me in the morning before I went into surgery, and we were FaceTiming the entire time that I was in the hospital. He seen me at my worst. He was there through it all. She said, I think that's why I feel the most beautiful in his eyes, because he still finds me beautiful after seeing all
she
of
is
that.
Beautiful. But she besides is beautiful. That,
gorgeous.
She was suicidal because she felt she was being an issue, a problem, a drag on the family because it was her brother, right?
Yeah, that's what you had said. I didn't see it in the story.
So her brother gave her the kidney then. So,
and I wonder how long did she have it?
The dad's was like 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah, and the dad donated the first kidney, and then now the brother.
That's like,
this.
I mean, you think after 2 years, okay, we're good to go.
Yeah.
I have a friend who donated her kidney to her brother, and it's been about a year now, and they're doing well. But like, there's always just in the back of your head.
Possible?
Do you have to take anti-rejection medication?
The recipient. So my friend does not. She doesn't have to take anything. I mean, she has to watch other things, like she can't take medicines that filter through her kidneys.
Right.
So
because she only has one.
Because she only has one, and you know, yeah, they want her.
But the recipient, you have to take anti-rejection drugs,
especially like. Right. With a heart transplant, where you take a whole array of those.
Yeah. Did anybody know if Don Pollock ever got that kidney? Because he was in here.
That's right. Yes, a while ago.
I don't know. That's Nick. We'll have Nick do a search on that and see if we can find that out. But that's, I mean, you know, that's real struggle. Well, that's really, really tough.
She also felt horrible because her dad stepped up and tried to save her life.
Yeah.
And an organ was removed, and she felt that she had done something by it. She couldn't have controlled it, but that her body rejected it.
But, yeah, that it sort of went to waste. You're
right.
You offered up a part of their body.
She felt it was her fault.
Yeah. All right. So
it's horrible.
Yep. We'll see if any more comes of that. Lost alum, Amelie Derevin. She played Claire.
Claire
from Australia. She was beautiful. She welcomed her second child with Eric Billich.
Yeah, didn't know the baby.
They shared the happy news on Instagram, writing, Theodore Kubrick Derevin Billich was born at home on December 9th, and we are so excited that you're finally out here to play with us. We love you so much, Theo. Theo joins Vera Audrey Derevin Billich.
What the hell?
Who was born on March 12th, 2016.
Yeah, so, that's your first kid.
Haven't heard anything about her in quite some time. I wonder if she's still working.
I saw her in something recently.
You know what? After Lost, the majority of that cast really didn't go on to do anything super high profile all these years later. I know that.
As high profile as Lost?
No. Or, you know, have. Except for Evangeline Lilly. She's managed to get some high-profile
Ant-Man, Lord of the Rings.
Acting roles.
I mean, the Hobbit movies.
Yeah.
And then also, but you know, Matthew Fox has been in a number of higher-profile movies, not as a lead.
Yeah. Well, who do you call was in Hawaii Five-0?
Oh, actually, yeah.
Daniel Kim?
Daniel Kim, yeah.
No,
and also
Jorge.
Hurley.
Let's just call him Hurley.
Yeah.
And Hurley's, like, is now the go-to Hawaiian. I think he's also popping up in Magnum, I think.
Yeah.
So I didn't watch Hawaii Five-0, but there was an episode of it on the other day that I came across.
The original or the new one?
The new one.
Okay.
And Terry O'Quinn was in an episode.
Yeah.
Dude, it was brutal. It was like violent.
It? Yeah, yeah.
It was, I'm like, I didn't know it got like this.
Okay,
it was
awesome. He was on for a while. I didn't realize he was back on the show.
He got killed in this particular episode.
Well, there we go.
He's
done.
What else I have for you here? Although they were together for 11 years, Ellen Pompeo recently told Jada Pinkett Smith on a Red Table Talk show that she and Patrick Dempsey Lindsay haven't spoken since he left Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, I hate hearing this.
No hard feelings, though. She said, that's a talented man right there.
Over there, that guy over there.
He did 11 amazing years. She said, typically, when people leave the show, they need to sort of find themselves, who they are without the show, because the show takes up so much of your life. You need that time to figure out who you are without the show. So we've not spoken, but
since the show,
but I will always have a place in my heart for Patrick. She said
he was McDreamy, right?
Yes, I believe that is correct.
Yep. See, mm-hmm. I know all the specifics of the show without ever having to watch one second of it.
That's do you really?
Yeah,
that's
I make it my job to know those things.
Nice,
without having to put myself through that misery.
Jennifer Garner is putting the brakes on a romance with John Miller, according to a report in Entertainment Tonight.
I love her.
Instead,
my wife loves her.
She is focusing on her career and the children that she shares with Ben Affleck. The source says, privately, she has told friends that she doesn't want to be deeply committed at the moment.
I don't know if you realize what you just said, but you all but said Affleck is committed to a new Batman movie.
No, I didn't even realize that. I have Ben stuff coming up. She wants to focus on family, career, and getting Ben back on track.
Back on track is code for a new Batman movie.
She enjoys her time with John, but she has concerns of moving too quickly because she doesn't want to be disappointed. Her friends are in full support of her stepping back a bit because they all know relationships take a lot of work, and right now her plate is full.
If you follow her on Instagram, Kathy, she reminds me of you. She does a lot of family stuff.
Oh, really?
Activities. She does Jennifer Garner activities.
She could totally do Kathy's activities.
By the way, speaking of Kathy's activities, I saw a picture of you on the trolley.
Uh-huh.
And I can't tell if you're saying woo or if you're just really pissed off.
I don't know. I was in the middle of laughing, and that's the picture that we got.
Okay. Gotcha. There's a grimace on your face. And I'm like, is that her going, woo?
Maybe that's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I want to tell you the activities thing, and Kathy as an activities expert is catching on. There are other media developments. I don't know if you want to talk about it, but
I'm going to be on Fox on Thursday morning. They want to know about Kathy's holiday activities.
Wow.
See,
is that after the show you're going over there?
No, they're going to come here. We're going to do it during a break.
That's pretty cool. Holiday activities. Stay tuned.
See, there's legitimacy there.
Following a flurry of not great PR for another stint in rehab and his divorce, Ben Affleck is making headlines for the right reasons.
Because he's in the new Batman movie!
No. The star is appearing in Triple Frontier, his first project post-rehab and divorce, first trailer dropped on Monday. The film focuses on a group of special forces operatives, and it's him, Oscar Isaac, Charlie Hunnam, Garrett Hedlund and Pedro Pascal.
That's a lot of macho there.
Who want to plan a heist in South America.
You know what I dug? The Accountant?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. And I enjoyed that movie, Drive by Night or whatever it was. It was a gangster movie.
Fly by Night? Batman?
Live
by Night.
There we go. It was actually pretty good. Gangster movie.
Yeah, I like The Accountant, and that character lends itself to a possible sequel.
Yes.
But I don't think they should do one. You know what I mean?
Let it stand alone.
I watched the other day, the Matrix was on.
Yes.
And I watched the remainder of it, and I'm like, should have ended right there.
It should have.
But I remember seeing that movie going, they need to make another movie. You know what I mean?
I know.
So I've learned to curb my appetite for sequels by going, you know what? This is good enough.
I watch The Matrix now without considering the second or third.
Yeah.
I don't even want to think about it as a contained, done.
Write your own ending.
Boom.
To where it goes from there and be happy with that. But, you know, sometimes they do. They do some decent sequels. So anyhow, Triple Frontier will land on Netflix and in select theaters in March of 2019. Kirk Douglas turned 102 years old on Sunday.
I love Kirk Douglas.
Yeah, and his family honored the Hollywood legend with sweet tributes on social media. Daughter-in-law Catherine Zeta-Jones led the charge, writing, "Happy 102nd birthday to the most beautiful man. We love you, Kirk."
I'm going to squeeze your ass.
And you know what, dude? If you look back at his... that dude was in phenomenal shape. He really took care of himself.
He was absolutely.
That's part of the reason why he's made it to 102. And obviously, he is in the shape he is because he's 102 now. But
survived a pretty powerful stroke.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, he's not, you know. But listen, lonely are the brave. Spartacus, Paths of Glory, In Harm's Way, just amazing
20,000
movies.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Yeah. He was great. His grandson, Carries, who was 15, wrote 102 years young to my inspiration, my pappy. And I can't put into words how much you mean to me. Happy birthday. I love you. That's really sweet. That's cool. I'm happy.
You know who's going great guns? Thinking. Michael Douglas as well.
Yeah, yeah.
How old is Michael Douglas now?
I'm not sure. In his 70s, I guess. But yeah. Has anybody else watched Kominsky Method?
You mentioned it, and I watched the first episode. I thought it was really...
It's fantastic.
Nice. Really well done.
And pardon me for my voice, because it's a little scratchy, but he reminds me of Kirk. I mean, they're so similar in their styles, their mannerisms, and their voice.
Your voice is absolutely fine.
Thank you. Just waiting.
Some of us have a raspy voice.
It's sexy, right?
Wouldn't it be great if they gave him somehow or another a bit role, almost like a Stan Lee moment in the Ant-Man films? That'd be pretty
cool.
That
would be really cool.
I mean, just a real quick thing.
Yeah, he's one of the easiest impressions when he was just, hey.
Hey, Kim Kardashian. Thought we were going to get out of here, didn't she?
She's quite talented.
She's spilling the tea on her past drug use.
Yeah.
Her sister's rumored marriage and the cardinal beauty rule that she breaks on the regular.
Oh, my God. Someone who looks that beautiful couldn't possibly be breaking a cardinal beauty rule.
On the regs.
On the regs.
The Regiramo, man.
Oh, man.
Kim recently revealed...
Do dish.
That she filmed her famous sex tape while on the drug ecstasy. We talked about that. And also married her first husband on the drug.
Yes, Wallace Shawn.
That wasn't her first husband. As she put it on a recent episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, she said, I did ecstasy once and I got married. I did it again and I made a sex tape. Like everything bad would happen. After Sunday's episode, she appeared on Busy Phillips Busy Tonight and confessed that her mominger, Kris Jenner, finally put a stop to the hijinks. She said, I would tell my mom everything. We always had such a close relationship. So I would come home and I'd be like, oh my God, mom, I did ecstasy last night.
I'm not your mom. I'm your dad. I'm just wearing funny clothes. Don't tell anybody.
Funny clothes.
Not going to tell anybody, right? You don't tell anybody.
You're wearing what?
Funny clothes. It's funny, isn't it? No guy wants to dress like this. It's just funny. I'll be upstairs.
She comes in the dark, thinks mom is sitting at the table.
She sees a silhouette.
Yeah. I'm not your mom. I'm not your mom. I'm your dad. I'm just wearing funny, funny clothes. It's funny, right? I didn't know you were out.
I didn't know you were. Thought you were bad. Oh God. Oh God. Welcome back, Caitlin. By the way, it's been a while. So anyway, she said, I would come home and I'd be like, oh my God, mom, I did ecstasy last night. She was sitting on top of the washing machine.
This is great. This is great.
It's on Spin Cycle.
What a derail. You got Caitlin in the kitchen. She's writing the appliances. Chloe's wrestling a bear.
Oh, my God. This family.
There was less weird stuff happening at the Addams Family.
Dad's in funny clothes. Mom's getting off on the washing machine. Wow.
All right.
So she was on top of the washing machine, and she was like, you, one day, you're not going to be able to have babies. You can't do this. You're going to ruin yourself. Like, she was so upset. She says, Kris was worried that she'd be a crazy drug addict, and eventually she agreed. She said, and I quote, I was just like, you know what? She's so right. I'm so over it. Like, this is so not me, and I just never did anything again. So these are direct quotes from
Kim.
That's good.
The way you did that, though. I like
Thank you.
She
tried to get the essence.
Yeah.
Though her performance was not affected in her porn film.
No. Busy also asked Kim about those rumors that her sister Kylie had married Travis Scott. And Kim said, I honestly don't know. I see that, too. Or I guess, yes, as if she had married. I don't know what that means.
So there's been rumors.
That they've done it.
That they've done it. There's married. Been rumors that they've been wearing rings. I don't honestly believe that would be the case at all. No, Kylie's worth like $1 billion.
And I think that mom, Chris, wouldn't be too happy about
that. No.
So Kim
say
said...
Say what you will about the Mominger. She runs a tight ship.
Kim said, I honestly don't know. I see that too. They're the cutest. And I think they're so in love. And they have the cutest little family. I would say, like, no.
When you say stuff like that, that's... You just, what a cute little family you have. Your little family over there that you have with your little family and your little things that you have that are so little and less than mine.
She said, I would say, like, no, they're just being cute and posting that. But they posted a few times, so I'm going to ask in our group chat today when we leave here.
Do they ever pick up the phone and call each other directly?
She also copped to, here's the fashion faux pas, or the beauty faux pas. She also copped to sleeping in her makeup, normally a skincare no-no, but she does it.
Oh, is a no-no.
Supposed to be bad for your skin?
It's totally bad for your skin.
Did you ever, when you were...
I cannot believe her.
When you were ever dating, all right? I don't want to, so not to get... If there was a point where you had been with someone all night long, let's just say that, did you ever leave your makeup on?
No.
Okay.
No. And you know me, I had long nights. No.
my wife did a couple of times when because
I don't care.
No. Yeah.
No, you can get out. you can go now.
There's 10 men out there waiting.
Get the hell out.
No, but I remember in college, I mean, going out, you know, to the bars all night, coming home, and that was one thing. It didn't matter how many drinks I had.
Whatever condition you were in.
I was washing my face.
Skin is priority one.
How I can commiserate with that. So I put sunblock on every day, but at a certain point in the evening.
You have to wash it off.
I got to wash it off. Yeah. Because I literally feel encased in it.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, all the time, like even if I can't have glam the next day,
I can't have glam every day.
What?
I'll sleep perfectly and maybe I'll redo my skin, but I try to salvage it for 2 days. Like she does that regularly. She tries to get 2 days. Out of her makeup. Well,
probably because it takes so damn long to put that face on.
And also, they probably just each day they throw away their pillowcase. So, you know what I mean?
Have you seen any of Kylie Jenner's instructional? I know this is, oh my God.
What, Steve? What do you watch?
No, tell me, Steve. Which instructional videos?
She has makeup videos.
Of how to apply?
Yes.
Okay.
That are so elaborate.
Yeah.
So many sub-levels to what she's doing. It's just... I mean, the face stuff alone takes like what appears to be an hour.
Mm-hmm.
They're recreating their face.
It has to be. Yeah. But it's just amazing.
Just put on your funny clothes and be happy.
Yeah.
Do you know who's doing makeup? It seems to be a makeup influencer stuff is Lauren Harris on Instagram.
Oh, really?
She has product lines that are, I think, are using her. And obviously, they've made a wise choice.
Well, she's... you know what? I did see that. She's always been great with her own makeup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then one last thing, the movie, The Favorite, led the pack with 14 nominations for the Broadcast Film Critics Association 24th Annual Critics' Choice Awards, including Best Picture.
I watched the trailer for it. It actually looks good. It looks good. It looks actually that it has some levity to it.
Is it like a comedy?
It clearly has comedic aspects to it.
Yeah, I just, the texture of it does not... interest me at all. But yeah. It's a
period piece, right?
Yeah,
about menstrual cycles.
Yeah, it's about menstrual cycles.
We found out the other day. No, Best Director and nominations for all three stars, Olivia Colman, Emma Stone, and Rachel Weisz. The Critics' Choice Awards are thought to be the most prescient of eventual Oscar winners, sharing 17 of 19 categories in common last year. Black Panther nabbed 12.
Nice.
First Man garnered 10. Mary Poppins Returns, A Star Is Born, and Vice all earned 9 each.
Not for anything, but when are our screener copies coming out for SAG Awards?
I'm here by now. I'm not sure when the SAG Awards are, so they start arriving only a couple of weeks before, it seems like.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
it was just like 3 weeks before last time.
Yeah. Can I ask you guys a question about the Black Panther real quick?
Yeah.
Who just exhaled like that?
That was me. I'm sorry. Okay. I took a deep breath. I was about to do this, but I'm not sighing because I don't want to hear what you have to say.
He's sighing because he's so excited.
I just have a question about... There's a point in the movie where Black Panther's sister says to him, because he's wearing sandals, she goes, "What are those?" those. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's
a, because that's become a thing. Was it a thing before the movie or after?
Okay. Yeah, it was a meme, GIF, whatever you want to call it, come to life.
Okay.
So it was an inside joke that was an internet joke prior to Black Panther.
Okay, because that's the first time I'd ever seen it, but I've seen it since then.
Yeah. And it stood out enough, and you didn't know what that was a reference to.
Yeah, and now, all right, cool.
I think it was like a Vine video or something like that.
Thank you, Nick.
Let's do clips now.
Bird Box
is a supernatural novel-turned-movie that follows a mother leading her two children on a dangerous trip through the woods blindfolded.
This reminds me of A Quiet Place.
Here, Sandra Bullock talks about training for the most intense scene, which was rowing down a river with her eyes covered. Here we go.
Well, I trained so I could carry the kids. That's what I did. That was mostly what I was working on. But when it came to the boat and the rowing, I didn't, because she wouldn't have had the training. So I said, when we film it, we filmed it in sequence. So when you see me pushing off the boat, getting into the water, I had never rowed a day in my life. And so as we progressed filming, my rowing got better and better, like it would have for her.
Thank you. Bird Box premieres on Netflix, by the way, this Thursday. Here's the next clip. The House That Jack Built. Freaky-looking movie. It's a dark comedy that shows the methodic murders of an architect-turned-serial killer. Here, Matt Dillon shares the secret phrase that director Lars von Trier used on the set to inspire the cast.
One of the things that was a sort of a mantra on the set was a slogan in Danish that Lars actually coined the phrase. He said, remember to keep it messy. To do things and say, hey, let's see what happens. Doesn't have to be perfect. And I think that's what made the experience special.
Supposed to be insanely violent.
That's the word.
At the Cannes Film Festival, like, people walked out and it was
very,
very, very gory. The House of Jack Built hits theaters this Friday, by the way. There you go. That's it. So I got entertainment report this
damn
morning.
Good.
We need to take a break, but not before we spread the miracle of Christmas.
It's a Christmas miracle! Yeah!
And woo-hoo! The Preston and Steve Show. It's a little party we like to have at the end of the year before we take off for the holidays. And it's a thank you to you, the loyal listeners of the Preston and Steve Show. And that's why we reward people who have knowledge of the show. It proves that you've been with us for a long time. You're an Uber fan, and we love that about you. We love all our listeners, but if you happen to be one of those really, really knowledgeable, if you've been with us for a long time, we want to give some love right back.
Absolutely.
To you. So let's take five people who can call in now, 215-263-WMMR, and who are available on December 20th. That entire morning, and are at least 21 years of age, to come and join us at the Excite Center Parks Casino in Bensalem. Let's get you on board. You'll be in the audience. Only you are qualified to possibly be one of our contestants on Contestants Row. We draw them randomly while we're there. However, your friend who arrives may be able to win some other things, too. And it's the Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition. So wear your ugly sweater. You might win prizes that way as well. 215-263-WMMR, and you can go to WMMR.com for more of the details. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Daily Rush video, the most current one, at least from what I've seen. I should have hit this. It was out a couple days ago. It's just titled Walper. It was a mistype of a guy named Walter, I think.
Yeah.
And we ended up having some fun with the name, and it was very, very fun. I haven't watched the video yet, but I got to see it.
Do you know what's funny? After that happened, there were a few people who tweeted out and said that the whatever, when they have a kid, they're going to name it Walper.
I like that. And it was one of our interns' first day.
Yes.
And I think we upset her by having
some
fun.
Didn't mean to. It was a great pick.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Is that her?
Yeah, it's her. It's
sorry.
I won't mention Felicia's name on the air. But, she and I had a discussion about it, and she's cool with it now, but she was upset at first. She was a little bit embarrassed, and I had told her.
First day.
Time and time again, you know, I've been on the receiving.
To everyone.
I've been on the receiving end of that so many times, and Chuck has talked me off the ledge so many times. He goes, "All right, listen, maybe you sounded like an idiot, or you look like an idiot, but it created content, and it was,
but
shut up, Kev. And it was great 5-10 minute, bit of radio, so, you know, be happy about that. I'm like, okay. You know.
By the way, speaking of Casey, Marissa had posted on her social media a series of Casey pictures. Did you see that yesterday?
I did. I came across it last night. I had no idea.
It was a nod to his 20 years of being producer of the President and Steve Show, and there's some great pictures, man.
Great pictures. The one that I love is the Herky. It's the lower left-hand corner because it looks like I got major air.
You did, it looks like.
But the picture was taken at a lower level, so it just looks like I got major, major air. Yeah.
Still impressive.
Yeah.
The one I like is in the middle. There's a picture of you trying to look very cute and sexy, like you're on the cover of Teen Beat magazine.
Yeah, Beth Gardner, I believe, took that picture, and then somebody put that background. I don't know if it was Nick Murphy. Was it Nick Murphy who did the background?
It had to have been.
Yeah.
So if you would like to take a look, just check our Instagram page, and you'll see the picture, a collage of Casey photos. Hey, yes.
It's just the license photo. Oh, my God, it's the best.
Next year, new license photo, right?
I got one coming up in July.
And Casey's already growing his hair out for
you. You know what, though? The word is that the missus has asked that you not adopt anything dramatic, right?
Well, no, she wants me to cut my hair right now.
Okay.
But she knows what she's getting into.
She's been here for a long time.
She's been here a long time. In fact, if you look at that license photo, she's the one who teased my hair up like that.
So don't think it's going to change.
But over the weekend, she goes, you know, listen, I understand you're growing your hair out, but she's like, that doesn't mean you don't have to trim your eyebrows.
Did you ever get pulled over with that photo? Did you ever have to hand that license to a cop?
I can't remember. I know I have been pulled over with a license. I don't know if it was that particular one, but it has gotten me.
Like, I remember the tooth one, right?
That's my newest one.
Oh, okay.
The blacked out tooth, yes.
I thought you got pulled over with that one.
I don't remember.
That's my favorite.
All right. Well, that'll be coming next year. Hey, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention is warning once again, do not eat raw cookie dough.
Yeah! Well, too late.
Homemade dough in particular often contains raw flour and eggs that can cause life-threatening disease. Now, I always thought that it was the eggs, which are the issue. The eggs are some of the culprit.
But the flour has
a lot to do with it, and I did not know that. It says flour is not treated to kill E. coli and other germs that can make people sick. The CDC notes that in 2016, an outbreak of E. coli infections linked to raw flour sickened about 63 people.
Wow.
Listen, number-wise, that's not very big. But I
didn't even know that that could happen. I just thought it was flour.
Symptoms of E. coli infections include severe stomach cramps and bloody diarrhea.
Ooh, yeah. Mm. If it's red, it's perfect for the holidays.
I mean, that's the only kind of diarrhea to get, right?
Bloody diarrhea.
If you're going to get bloody diarrhea, then you're all in, as they say.
Yeah. All right, so my sister, and I think I told you about this, Preston. My sister, when she was up in New York last year, Brooklyn area, she said that there was a store and there was a line around the corner for this place, and it was all types of different cookie dough, but the way they made it, it was
Ensure's safe. Bloody Stool.
No, but it was all safe. It was maybe it was made without egg. I don't know.
Well, there's at the end of this, it says is any cookie dough safe to eat? It says commercially sold cookie dough advertised to eat without baking is fine, as the products don't contain raw eggs and many are made with heat treated flour. So that's what it's got to be.
I'm sure that's what it is. However, over the years, and it's been many years since my favorite cookie by far was the chocolate chip, the Toll House recipe. You know, how can you? You almost can't avoid it.
I must be the only one. I don't even think it's good.
I love
the cookie dough ice cream. No, thank
we
you.
Buy.
It's not
we,
good.
We buy, and it's been a little while since we've done it, but we would have the bucket.
Yep.
Of Toll House cookies, but the bucket of dough, and we just eat it with a spoon, just right out of the whole damn bucket. You know, it would sit in there for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
but we would slowly eat it all.
To me, it tastes like I taste the flour. Like, to me,
that's
good.
Okay.
It's not even. I
love flour. Sometimes I'll just eat flour, Kathy.
To me, it seems to be a more concentrated flavor. You know what I mean?
Well, yes. As you're making it, if you were mixing it up with a spoon, you'd lick the spoon, you'd lick the bowl, you'd lick the people who are eating it. It's why it became such a popular ad to ice cream.
Brownie batter's pretty damn good.
Brownie batter.
Ew.
Brownie batter. Come on, Kathy, snap out of it.
I made, I was
You've been spending too much time at Floral and Hardy.
I made a dessert for Thanksgiving, and it included brownies. So I had to make brownies, and Jace wanted the mixer, you know?
Yeah, the beaters.
The beaters.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I'm like, it's not good, buddy. You can taste it, but this is not good. It tastes like powders. Okay. And he tasted it. He's like, what do you mean it's not good? I don't get it.
So there's a
store. Is it me?
Yeah. There's a store called Dough Life in the Cherry Hill Mall. Edible cookie dough. So it's just like the sort Casey was talking about.
Yeah. When my sister had told me about it and how successful it was up in New York, I'm like, man, I should open one of those down here.
Do it! You know, we were talking yesterday about missing out on opportunities that Lance Armstrong invested in an early investor in Uber, and now he's possibly looking at $1 billion.
Yeah, this is going to be $1 billion.
Absolutely. This will be used by everybody. So it won't be $1 billion, but who knows?
Like $1 billion. Like a cookie dough. Thank you. Raw cookie dough.
By the way, is there anything
that... flicking raw cookie dough, flicking like brownie batter, and then licking it like a sugar cookie, or snickerdoodle. Like $1 billion.
Steve, come back from Vietnam, call me a batter licker.
Batter licker. Are you going to be spitting at me at the airport? It's over, giant. Nothing's over. Nothing's over until the bowl is clean.
Wow, it's a Rocky Rambo.
We can cross all of the platforms of Stallone in one.
Stop, or my mom will shoot.
Is there anything that you eat besides cookie dough that you will eat raw?
Chicken.
That you probably shouldn't eat raw.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
I like carpaccio. I like beef carpaccio, which is essentially raw beef.
But that's meant to be eaten that way if it's prepared properly.
It has to be prepared properly.
Sounds like a mob enforcer, doesn't it? Yeah.
So we used to eat, and this is gross, but we used to eat raw potatoes when I was a kid.
Oh, no.
I love raw potatoes.
Really?
Do you?
Yeah. In fact, so when my mother would...
You get
like,
worms, though, don't you?
No. I don't think so. When she would make mashed potatoes, she would cut up the potatoes.
Yeah.
And I would sit there as she was cutting them and just I loved it.
Yeah.
In fact, still today I can eat raw potatoes.
Would you put a little salt on them?
A little bit of salt.
Yeah. Would you put one on your nose and make you wait?
Yeah. Just sit. Wait. So when I was pledging, we had the Sigro apple and the Sigro orange. The Sigro apple was a giant onion, and you would.
Oh.
And this is hazing, so, but whatever. We lost our charter anyway. 90 years of history down the drain.
Is there a medical issue with eating a raw onion?
I can't imagine
that there is,
but
right?
I couldn't do that, right? I couldn't stomach the onion. But when they passed the potato around, the Sigro orange, I'm like, guys, I got this one. And I would just eat the whole thing. I loved it.
In one of our last days at Y100, Preston, some marketing company brought in Vidalia onions. They were trying to market them, Steve, like an apple.
Yeah.
And no, they were like, here, take a bite of it. And so
let me interrupt for a second, Nick. It said in the letter, it said, go ahead. Yeah, eat it like an apple.
Right.
And I did too. It was disgusting.
It was awful.
Go ahead.
I had a stomachache after that.
So did I.
And then below it said, go ahead, tongue kiss your mother.
And I love Vidalia onions.
Me too.
But straight up like that, no. That's just gross.
There are all sorts of medical concerns, aren't there, with a lot of this stuff?
There can be.
Now, with the cookie dough, I always understood that, though. I have to say, over the years, Preston, we're talking many years of my life, I've had a lot of, and I won't do it anymore. I got it. I won't tempt fate. But there have been many Christmases where I knocked back a fair amount of raw cookie dough.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
like I said, we still do it.
Yeah. Standard. I mean, unless you're in a Romano household, that's the standard deal, man.
Marissa?
Wait, going back to the onions, I love eating red onions raw. Do you guys not do that while you're cooking?
I eat them in my salad and stuff like that. I have salad.
but, did you see the video of the little baby girl eating an onion like an apple?
No.
Oh, my God. She's crying, but loves it.
Oh, wow. Okay. But wait a minute. Marissa, so you'll just eat straight up by itself raw red onion?
Yeah, usually like while I'm chopping, while I'm cooking. But they're on the side, I'm munching on them.
No.
Okay.
No.
Let me go to a couple of calls here.
Thank you.
No, thanks.
No, thanks.
I'm going to go to Alan. Alan.
Alan!
You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, is this the invite for the Christmas miracle?
No.
It's Hershey Park tickets.
That was good.
It's a good try. We'll see. What do you have to say, Alan?
Okay. Well, when I was a kid, since I couldn't cook, I took a knack of eating ramen noodles raw.
Okay. All right. So what, you would just hold that whole brick of ramen noodle and just, or would you break it up first?
I would break it up into pieces, have the seasoning on the side, wet it a little bit, dip it, and then chew on it and eat it.
Yes, Alan! Same thing with a lot of raw pasta. I would do spaghetti.
Raw spaghetti, raw pasta.
And the thing to do for me, even as an adult, I'd probably do it, is as many tiny bites as I can do.
Yes. And when you're biting raw pasta, your head is like a speaker, and it's like, bang, 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 each time you bite down on raw pasta.
Yeah.
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate it, man.
I, as a child, would eat raw hot dogs all the time.
Yeah. I mean, they're technically not raw. They're already, they're smoked, they're cooked. It's not raw
meat.
But
as a grown-up, that would make me gag.
I'd just sit there and hold a raw weenie. Just gnaw.
Mind if I nibble on your weenie?
I remember taking like a paper towel just to hold on to it.
Yeah. You know, we would also eat raw oatmeal.
And then at the same time would use it as fishing bait.
Yeah.
Take a bite off of it, eat this a little bit and take a little bit off and stick it on your hook.
You'd eat the hot dog and then you'd roll two billiard balls just below it. Yeah, that feels right. Yeah.
I'd use a couple plums.
Plums. Juicy plums.
Oh, you know what really grosses me out? And you guys will do this, and it makes me ill. When you take like SpaghettiOs or beefaroni or whatever out of the can, I can't.
Not a problem. Raw SpaghettiOs in a can?
Yeah.
Absolutely no problem.
SpaghettiOs ravioli? With meatballs. Yeah.
No problem.
Right. Chef Boyardee ravioli?
Absolutely.
Right. There's... out of the can. I probably wouldn't do it now, but I did used to do that when I was a kid.
Well, you're a wealthy businessman now.
Let me go next to, there's a few people talking about raw hot dogs, but I'll go to, let me go to Patrick. Hey, Patrick, good morning.
Ahoy, Captain Blackfingers.
Welcome aboard.
See, that's the kind of information that might win you something.
At the Christmas Miracle. Yeah. What's up, Patrick?
I got you. So it was my girlfriend, myself, and my roommate out at college, and we had been talking with the captain. And we ended up going, my roommate goes into the kitchen to get some snacks. And then a few minutes later, I walk out to get something. And he's just standing in the middle of the kitchen eating raw artichoke hearts out of a can.
I don't think that's okay, though.
I don't think that's gross.
You're supposed to eat them that way. You don't have to heat them up. They're put in salads and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Though. Yeah.
Raw?
Yeah.
I've actually had them in salads. You'll find them all the time.
Yeah, those are marinated. And so it's okay, Patrick.
Don't worry about it, though.
Go swab the deck.
The nastiest thing.
Oh, those are good.
I thought that's how you're supposed to eat them.
If you have it in a good salad, they're pretty good.
Now, have you guys ever taken an actual artichoke and dug into that thing?
No.
It's a very difficult piece of produce to get to because there's a fibrous center to it. And to get to the heart, you got to get all these fibers out of the way or they're really horrible.
I'm making multi-million-dollar business deals. I don't have time for that.
Nah. It's so good, though.
Yes, it is.
I like artichokes.
Yeah, I have only had artichokes in dip. I've never had it outside of a dip. I don't really, it doesn't do much for me. I'm not.
Oh, man, I love them.
Yeah.
Salads. You can even put them on pizzas. They're really good.
Cookie dough.
Yeah, cookie dough.
Besides cookie dough.
Let me go next to Kevin. Hi, Kevin. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, Kev?
Pretty good. When I was younger, probably around 9 or 10 years old, the only way I could eat lima beans was with ketchup.
Lima beans are edible. They're raw
lima beans or like cooked lima beans?
Uncooked, we're talking?
Yeah.
Really?
Is there?
I have no idea why.
That's fine too.
You know what? Okay, that's interesting. Thanks. We used to eat, I'd eat green beans raw every now and then.
Yeah. I like green beans raw better. Yeah.
Isn't that when you're eating, having a brain fart here. Like snow peas or
use your words.
Edamame.
Isn't that's not
That's cooked? Not green beans.
That's steamed. That's
are they steamed?
Yeah, they're cooked because my dad and I used to go hunting in a he had a friend who owned some soybean fields, and it was a good area to go bird hunting. So anyway,
I thought you were going to go soybean hunting.
No. And so when we were in the fields, you could pick soybeans off of the plant and eat them, and it's not
the same.
Steamed, they're a lot harder when you eat them raw.
Hey, real quick, when you get like Taco Tuesday, right? Yeah. Will you guys? I don't know how to ask this question
chicken
properly.
Raw?
No, all right. So I had always eaten the hard taco shells. I'll just call it raw, right? Out of the box.
Yeah. You wouldn't put them in the oven.
No.
Yeah.
And I had no idea like my mom would put them in the oven when she moved in with us last year. It makes a world of difference in the taco shells. Yes. Kathy, you know how like it kind of tastes like a little bit stale?
Yeah.
Oh, no, dude, put them in the oven for like 10 minutes.
It's essentially like toasting bread.
Yes.
It gives it a little bit different.
My wife does it. She prepares both the, because I like the softer ones now that are actually molded to accommodate the perfect taco.
Yeah.
I'm a soft shell guy.
See, I'm a crunchy shell guy. I'm a hard shell guy. And I never understood why tacos, like at the, Taco Bell or at a store or whatever, was better than the tacos I made at home. I had no idea.
You were blind.
You were living a lie.
I was living a lie.
Okay, let me go to this. We were talking about CDC says you're not supposed to eat cookie dough raw. We knew that, but I had no idea that flour was a part of it because of E. coli. Now, that raw eggs can carry salmonella.
Yes, so that seemed the obvious,
there are
right?
Two different things there, but they were saying this. So we're talking about things that you eat raw that traditionally people don't eat raw. I'm going to go to Steve. Hi, Steve. Good morning.
Hey, I want to eat, goddammit.
What do you want to eat raw, Steve?
Hamburger dough.
No, hamburger. You eat ground hamburger, are you talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's a vampire.
See, that's
ground beef.
A lot of people do that. A lot of people have done that, and it's a risky thing.
My mom has done that. She's straight up South Philly Italian, and I just remember making homemade meatballs and I was constantly walking by and she would do it. I've done it since I was little. I mean, it's just something that everybody.
Steve, would you like eat an entire meatball raw?
I don't know about a whole meatball, but I mean, over the course of the day, sure.
Okay, just kind of pick at it. I want to ask you a question, Steve. I'm curious if that was like a bodybuilder thing, because there was one guy that I worked with at a restaurant. He only worked there for a couple weeks, and he was full on,
right, full bodybuilder.
And I remember walking over to the hamburger meat that we'd use on the pizzas, and he just went over and he grabbed a bunch and ate it, and he's like, it's good quality.
Some of those guys,
that was like drinking raw eggs or whatever.
I think that was a belief. I believe it to be an error, but it was a belief, and it was kind of all the rage. You'd see them not cooking the hamburger meat. There was an actor years and years ago, a guy named Bob Cummings, who he and his wife, that was one of their things. They were always touting the medicinal benefits of eating raw hamburgers, and then they both got tremendously sick off of it.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I like very rare burgers. I like meat cooked rare, but I wouldn't eat it.
No.
I would never eat it.
If you get food poisoning any time in your life, you realize cook it up.
Lucas's ex-wife would do that. Hi, Lucas. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Good morning. Yeah, she would definitely eat the raw hamburger meat while making burgers and stuff. But she would like her steaks well done, which is kind of...
That's weird.
Is that what split you two up?
possibly.
Okay, so did she ever get sick doing it?
No, actually. She actually doesn't do it anymore. She looks back and kind of laughs at it like... Can't believe she did that.
Well, it's for me, even though I know, obviously, we clearly are finding out that it's wrong or that it can be a liability to do it. For years and years and years, I would always have the raw cookie dough that we were making prior to the cookies.
Yeah, I'll still do it. I love it. Have you guys ever had milk straight from the cow?
No.
Like on a farm?
Nope.
It's unpasteurized?
Unpasteurized, yeah. My aunt in West Virginia lives on a farm, and occasionally we would have it, and it's just, it does not taste like milk at all. Whatever milk you're used to drinking, it's completely different. It's so thick.
I had milk straight from the horse.
Yeah.
It was so, so salty.
It's a male horse, right?
Yeah.
We don't have a cow. We have a bull, though.
All right, now, I see a couple things here, and we're talking about eating things that are raw. How about frozen things that you're supposed to cook.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That you're supposed to cook.
Okay.
And that you eat. So,
what about you?
I'm going to go to Anthony because he's got something. Hi, Anthony. Good morning.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good. What's up, Anthony?
So, when I was younger, we used to like skateboard, and during the summer, we would go out, you know, pretty much all day. And what we would do to eat was just go into the store and grab a Hot Pocket and eat a Hot Pocket raw.
Okay. You would eat a raw Hot Pocket. In the freezer section, it wouldn't be frozen solid. It just would be completely uncooked.
Exactly.
I mean, it's pre-cooked. You are supposed to just warm those up. So technically you're okay, but it would probably be better warmed
up. It's not going to taste as good.
If you eat sticks of raw butter,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
an issue?
Raw butter?
I mean, just butter, you know, like...
other than your stomach might kill you.
You mean just cold, like a stick of butter?
Because you're eating it normally. Yeah, you put it on. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. You don't have to sometimes, cook butter for
some,
it to be
some,
okay.
But sometimes it's a case of volume, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It could be too rich for your system, and your stomach wouldn't agree with it.
There was a story about, I sent it to you, about this colon rinse, or this thing where this...
Soy butter?
Soy sauce.
Really?
Oh, I have a bizarre file story.
That might be
about a woman who.
Enough said.
It's supposed to be a colon cleanse.
Yes.
It can kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. Because there's so much salt in it. There's
exactly.
so much sodium right. in soy sauce. So don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't put soy sauce in your butt.
Along the lines of the Hot Pocket guy, my buddy, he gets these Trader Joe's burritos. And he'll take them out of the fridge or the freezer, and then he eats them for lunch without, like, ever cooking them.
Okay.
Now, they're pre-cooked, yes?
Yeah, these aren't raw, but they just, you're supposed to heat them up, you know? So let me go to Nancy. Hi, Nancy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Nancy.
When my daughter was little, I would make those little kid cuisine dinners for her, and I had to keep the chicken nuggets out frozen. One time I cooked them and she got so mad I had to put them back in the freezer to freeze them.
She liked frozen chicken nuggets.
So chicken nuggets are obviously chicken nuggets that you heat up are cooked already.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You're just eating them cold.
Mm-hmm.
Would you ever you ever suck on a frozen chicken nugget?
No. No. That would...
No. I don't approve.
Yeah. I mean, it's safe because it's cooked. You just need to heat it up for it to be appetizing.
That was just weird.
Yeah, okay. All right. Thank you. Let me go next to Rachel. Hi, Rachel. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, Rach?
Oh, not much. Heading into work.
All right. What's your story?
Oh, okay. So when I was little, my mom, she used to, like, fry tater tots. And to this day, like, if I'm making them, I'll sneak a couple frozen ones.
Okay, so you'll eat them straight out of the freezer when they're hard and frozen.
Straight out of the freezer, hard and frozen.
And you like them that way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's something I do all the time. I freeze blueberries.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
We have friends that would eat frozen peas.
Yes.
Almost like a snack.
Yeah.
Because there's something about the crunch that makes it
like
more appetizing.
Frozen raw chicken pops.
No, disgusting. No, frozen grapes.
Yes, yeah, those are good too.
They're
like little candy treats.
It's like a little treat. Yeah.
We had to stop buying like Eggo waffles and pancakes that you stick in the freezer because my kids would just eat them like
frozen.
Yeah.
Likewise. Especially if you get like blueberry waffles or something.
You know what? Jace did that for a little while too, Case.
Yeah, and I love Uncrustables frozen. I mean, you're supposed to keep them in the freezer anyway.
I did too. Somebody years ago, I guess whoever makes them, brought a whole crap load by the station, and we had them in the freezer, and I would just go get the peanut butter and jelly ones.
Yeah.
They were awesome.
They're so good. They're so good.
And Steve, I know you prefer cold pizza to right out of the oven, piping hot.
I do love right out of the oven, but there's not much. I'm going to say they're virtually neck and neck.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mind
by cold, I don't mean icy cold. I mean, you know, in the refrigerator. Or it could be in the refrigerator.
Yeah, I don't hate it, but if one's coming fresh out of the oven, because we had pizza last night, it made me think I was smelling it in the car. I'm like, oh,
so good.
Oh, God. Look at this pizza.
This is a smell of pizza that nipples get sick. Oh, my big, manly nipples. Bear out another guy and make love to him all night long with a pizza sitting there smelling up the car.
What?
Yeah.
What did I say?
My wife will, she's leftovers out of the fridge, never heats it up, ever. Like,
pizza?
It's...
Baking soda right out of the box.
No, pizza, which is not that gross to me.
pasta,
roast stuff beef, like meat. Meat, like meat. Like Dr. Mike.
I don't know. Some people, you know, doesn't bother them. All right. So anyhow, it was interesting. Wasn't sure what else people ate raw. And then we got into frozen, even though it's cooked. But cookie dough, they're saying once again, Center for Disease Control and Prevention, don't eat raw cookie dough. Can make you sick. But it's not just the eggs with salmonella. It's flour.
Never heard of that.
That can have E. coli because flour isn't treated for that. But there are some places, like somebody said, not only at the Cherry Hill Mall, but there's a place in Westchester as well that's all cookie dough. But I assume they use heat-treated flour and they don't use eggs.
I have to imagine one of these places is right at this very moment driving over free
samples. You got to think so, right? All right.
Thanks.
I would like you to clear the phone lines. Thank you for those who have been on hold. I appreciate it. But we've got some movie screening passes for Aquaman December 17th. And it's at the IMAX screen at the UA King of Prussia. How about that? It will be at 7:30. You will need to be there no later than 7. And we'll take five people and get you on board at 215-263-WMMR. So that's coming up on Monday. Keep that in mind. And I can't wait to see this movie. And we would like to see you there at the screening. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. It's B5. File stories on the way next. Make sure you stay with us.
Here we go. Here comes the MM Army.
What's going on?
Join Casey Boy Thursday from 7 to 9 as the Bud Light Philly Tour takes over Duffer's Tavern, 192 PA 352 in Glen Mills. Catch the game and win Eagles tickets, an autographed helmet courtesy of Bud Light, and Bud Light Philly special t-shirts. Visit WMMR.com/Philly to see when the Bud Light Philly Tour is coming to your neighborhood.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
Thank you to DeLeon Forth and Conshohocken for bringing some food by this morning. They brought an assortment of their hoagies made with Dietz and Watson premium meats and artisan cheeses. And guess what? You can't have any. We can't.
Oh, really?
No, but you can.
You can go by DeLeon Forth, which is 4th and Fayette in Conshohocken. And you can check them out at WMMR.com. The keyword is deli, in case you did the recent Real Philly Deli Tour stop there.
You loved it, and they brought some breakfast wrappy type stuff.
Yeah, that's very a place nice. To go to. In fact, when I lived in Conshohocken for a hot minute, and I would go there quite often when I lived there. And now it's under new ownership.
I'll tell you what I love about them. They're quick. You don't wait too long when you go in there.
Well, yeah, that's an extra bonus. And if the food's great, you can't beat that.
So thanks for providing food this morning. All right, we should do the bizarre file. Let's do that now.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning is brought to you by Patient First. Physicians, x-rays, lab tests, and prescription drugs. 19 medical centers conveniently located in eastern Pennsylvania and South Jersey. You can visit patientfirst.com. Let's start with this one, man. A British woman nearly lost her top lip.
Whoa.
After a beautician accidentally injected lip fillers into an artery during a Botox party at a friend's house.
There's an artery above your lip?
I didn't know that. Yeah.
This is what I'm nervous about.
I can understand. 29-year-old Rachel Napier attended the party with no intention of getting Botox treatment, but after a few drinks, Napier decided to go ahead with the injections. By the way, Kathy, it's not the Botox that got her. It was something else, so I'll explain.
All right.
She noticed the bump. She had said that talking about the person that was doing the injection, she noticed a bump on my lip when she was doing my Botox and said that she could inject a bit of filler for me if I wanted her to.
Look at the pictures. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's really nasty.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It looks like a Kardashian.
Yeah, they blew up big time. Geez. So to be fair, she told me to go and have a drink and think about it in the kitchen, but she found my weakness. My lip is the one thing that really bothers me about my appearance. A beautician who had been released from prison earlier in the year.
Well, there you go. That's a good credential.
Started the procedure, but instead of injecting the filler into her lip, injected them into an artery. She said one injection upwards towards my nose was very painful. Within a few hours, it began to feel unwell. My lips swelled like nothing I'd ever seen before, and the pressure was unbearable. She contacted the beautician, who told her that it was likely an allergic reaction, suggested she go to the hospital. Well, doctors determined that she was not suffering an allergic reaction and told her to return to the beautician to get treatment to dissolve the fillers. When Napier's lip split open, She reached out to a consultant clinic in London who told her that they would have a doctor ready to treat her as soon as she arrived because it sounded like an emergency.
Oh, my God.
She said, based on looking at my pictures, her medical team suspected vascular occlusion, meaning that the filler had been injected into an artery and could lead to necrosis, death of soft tissue, losing her lip.
Yes.
Flat out, it dying.
There seemed to be a problem.
Yeah. A few days later, she made it to London where a doctor injected her with a dissolving agent. Within 72 hours, the swelling started to decrease. It took nearly, listen to this, 3 months before her lips started looking normal again. So don't do that. That's not a good idea, especially, listen, you know, like at a party. If you go to a clinic, it's a different story.
Yeah, trust me, I'm an ex-con.
Wow. When a 10-year-old Ohio girl got in trouble for bullying, I love this, her father used a unique method to teach her a lesson. Matt Cox posted to a now viral video of his daughter walking down the road in 36-degree weather as he follows behind his car.
Hmm.
He explained that his daughter was recently kicked off the school bus for the second time this school year for bullying another student. So he decided to make her walk 5 miles to school to teach her a lesson. How about that?
Yeah.
A teacher, or I mean a parent actually trying to... you know, correct a wrong here with, about a kid being a bully.
I would have injected her with some lip filler, too.
That might work as well. You can hear him say in the video, bullying is unacceptable, especially in my household. The video received both praise and criticism from a host of viewers. He said, I know a lot of you parents are not going to agree with this, but that is all right. I'm doing what I think is right to teach my daughter a lesson to stop her from bullying, and the experience seems to have been successful. He updated the post saying that his daughter still has all her extremities intact.
Yes.
And that she is happy and healthy and seems to have a new outlook on bullying as well as a new appreciation for some of the simpler things in life that she used to take for granted. So, you know.
Listen, my parents would do similar things. They wouldn't set me on fire or stuff like that. We know there are lunatics out there, but something like this that reinforces... You know, positive behavior.
Generally, you think of your kid being bullied, and when you get feedback that your kid is the bully,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of an interesting situation. Sometimes people get really defensive over that.
Yeah, the parents go beat up the people accusing them.
As opposed to, wait a minute, you're the one who's doing this?
Yeah.
So I think the guy did the right thing.
Have you seen the movie Wonder, by any chance, Preston?
Yeah.
Because there is a bully in this, and there's a scene where the bully... is in the principal's office with the two parents, and the parents are basically like
going back and forth.
While they're defending the bully, and, and I said to my, I'm like, that people don't really do that, do they?
Sometimes they do, yeah. But this dad didn't. All right, a doctor has revealed a horrifying case in which a woman was left brain dead after an internet hoax went horribly wrong. This is what you're talking about earlier, Steve.
Horrible.
The incident involves a 39-year-old woman identified as only a CG in the story who presented to emergency services with a rapidly deteriorating mental status. Earlier that day, the woman had been performing a soy sauce colon cleanse, a dangerous internet fad which involves people drinking a liter of soy sauce in 2 hours. The woman was already unwell. She had lost 11 kilograms, however many pounds that is.
A liter of soy sauce.
In the past 3 weeks, and had started a white bread and canned fish only diet 6 months ago. She had also recently been released from a psychiatric hospital for what is believed to be paranoid schizophrenia.
Oh, boy.
Yes, this woman needed help. She had the paranoid belief the government had poisoned her and had read online that the soy sauce colon cleanse would rid her body of toxins. Soon after drinking the highly salt-laden soy sauce, she felt her heart beating faster. Mm. A doctor based in the U.S. identified as Bernard said that he runs a website called, or it's a channel called Chubby Miu, which features videos on medical issues like kidney disease and cancer. He said she resisted all urges to drink any water. Over the next 30 minutes while driving home, she stopped on the side of the road and began to cry. When she got home, she stumbled around and began mumbling unintelligible, and then she collapsed. She ended up getting, you know, help, and they took her to the hospital. But the malicious soy sauce challenge is based on half-truths. She had extremely high levels of salt in her blood. The doctor said that the challenge, they claim, will evacuate the entire body of toxins. But the correct part is whatever sodium is, water will flow towards it. She was told the soy sauce would stay in her colon. Toxin-filled water would then flow in, and she'd be cleansed, but that's not how it happens. It brings in huge amounts of salt into her stomach, which begins sucking the water from her muscles and organs into her stomach.
Geez. Oh, my God.
And then it happens to your brain, and you get brain damage and all this other stuff. So this woman exhibited all kinds of stuff. She's paraplegic, and just horrible things happen. So don't ever, ever, ever try to do that, by the way. All right, one last story before we wrap it up, because we don't want to end on that one. Let's go to a short one. How about this? I like this.
Something happy?
An Ohio man replaced a broken blind, a vertical blind, the one that hangs straight down. Those are vertical, right?
Yeah.
With a long receipt from CVS, and the internet loves it. Twitter user Andrew Nolan has gone viral after tweeting a picture of this idea to use the receipt as a replacement for the broken blind. The receipt was the exact same length as the rest of his blinds, so he decided to hang it up there. He had written, "One of my blinds broke in my bedroom, so I just went to CVS."
This has been a big deal. I think even Jimmy Kimmel addressed it about and had somebody on from the company, and they were supposedly going to reduce the size of these ridiculously long receipts. I go to CVS all the time. I haven't seen it.
No,
still
they're
super
still long.
Are they? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't forget that Tobias Forge from Ghost is going to be in our studio around 9 o'clock. But next, we're going to examine the Philly accent. And is that going away? We actually have a linguist expert who's going to give us some
should
of the
details. Should be on the phone?
Yeah, should be on the phone. We'll come back in a moment with that. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcasters, it's here, your chance to win a seat to Preston and Steve's Christmas Miracle Broadcast 2018.
Yeah, woo!
All right, it's not as exciting when it's just one person, but you know how excited we are because we love you, podcasters. So here's the deal. If you would like to enter to win a ticket to the Christmas Miracle Broadcast on Thursday, December 20th at Parks Casino, please send your name, age, and phone number to podcast@WMMR.com. And this year, I'm adding a challenge if you choose to accept it. Since you're emailing us anyway, if you would like to include some awesome question that you've thought of over the years, send it with the email. It won't affect your chances of winning either way. But hey, if you want to show off to us, we love seeing that. So thanks again, podcasters. You rock. We'll be contacting the winner soon. Good luck.
There was an article in Philly Mag about the Philadelphia accent.
Yes.
And how it may be fading and doing so fairly rapidly. And the finger kind of being pointed at millennials for whatever that means. But as I started to read through this and the pronunciations and things that are obvious like wooder.
Yes.
And
the standards.
And they point out beautiful and along those lines.
Foon.
Fair and home and so on. But the report comes from a gal who got her PhD at Penn and is cited in the article. I'm like, you know what? We should just get her on the phone.
Because yes, she's learned.
I was starting to read it and I'm like, you know what? It'd be better having someone who really knows what they're talking about to explain this and why we are seeing and if we've even noticed a change in the accents. So she is currently a postdoctoral research fellow at Georgetown. But like I said, got her PhD at Penn. This is Betsy Sneller on the show. Hi, Betsy.
Hi, nice to speak with you.
You as well. Should I call you doctor since you have your PhD from Penn and everything?
Yes.
Sure, whatever.
Okay, so Betsy, how long have you been working on this particular topic?
Yeah, okay, so changes in Philly English I have been working on since 2012, so about 6 years.
No kidding. So you've been observing it since then, or you decided I'm taking 2012 from here for the next couple of years and see how things change, or had you already seen changes before that?
Yeah, so we had already seen changes. The Philadelphia accent actually is the best studied accent in English.
Is that right? You're saying in all English, where English is spoken worldwide, the Philadelphia accent, or just
exactly.
Wow.
Why?
How did that end up?
Yeah.
So my PhD advisor, Bill LeBove, is this guy who he was one of the first people to say, okay, linguistics is cool, but let's see how people actually speak. So in the 1970s, he started recording Philadelphians, and we have this giant database of just interviews with Philadelphians dating back, you know, the first recordings were done in the 1970s, but the oldest speakers were born in the 1800s. So this gives us a snapshot of how Philadelphia English has been changing for over 100 years.
I think this is fascinating because I study, you know, dialects. I do a lot of the voice impressions on the show, and I do over-the-top stereotypical, you know, just for comedic purposes. But, you know, someone made a point years ago about the TV show Star Trek and how on the bridge of the Enterprise you have Scotty, who, you know, speaks with a full-blown, thick Scottish brogue even after all those years. And just by natural diluting, that would have been diminished dramatically. And that does happen over time to prominent dialects and pronunciations, correct?
Exactly. And actually, I was some of the features that you mentioned from the Philly Mag article, like the phone pronunciation. So that has been receding, and that one we can actually blame on baby boomers. They started... Yeah.
Okay.
So all the way back in the people born in the 1960s started retreating on that one.
Okay. But it does still exist.
It does still exist. Yeah.
Yet we're seeing it fade with the generations that have come after that as well. Then.
So I always get a little careful with the word fade.
Okay.
The thing that's fading is like the very obvious salient features. But I always tell people not to worry. There's other features that are differentiating Philly English. So there's still definitely a thing that is identifiable as Philadelphia English, and that's not going to go away. It's just going to sound a little different.
So as Fune might recede, do we see the introduction of new soon-to-be classic Philadelphian speech aspects or attributes? Okay, so what would they be? Give us an example.
So there's one that it's not exactly new, but it's still under the radar. Most Philadelphians don't realize that they do it. So Philadelphia has – I talked about this in the podcast a bit. But
okay.
Philadelphia English has a split between, like, the word day is pronounced like day. But as soon as you close up that syllable, if you add something else onto it, like days, it gets – Your tongue literally moves up in your mouth and you say like D's.
D's. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what the question, that's where I started to get confused in this article. Let me read this to you and then I'll have you expand on it. It says here, this particular change is very dramatic because it's not just straight up change in pronunciation. It's what we call phonological change. So it's changing the rules that govern the pronunciations. Philadelphia English, as long as we've known about it, has been characterized by one of the most complicated short A split systems, which is what you're talking about, right?
No, that's different, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, that's why
you're confused. That's why we're glad you're on.
Okay, go ahead and expand, if you will.
Yeah, so the short A, that's the sound in, like, the word cat, like this ah. And the traditional pattern in Philadelphia has two different types of ah sound. There's ea in words like laugh and gaff.
Yeah.
Laugh, okay.
It's order.
Which is almost ea, leah.
Exactly.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I always explain to people that it's like saying the word yeah.
Yeah.
My sister-in-law, my wife's name is Claire, and she says Clea.
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 And she's from where?
She's from Sweden. No, she's from New York, but it's a similar. And I've contended this for a while, Betsy, that there is a similar accent between, say, Long Islanders and Philadelphians. I think a certain linear quality. Am I correct, or would you say that's not right?
Yeah, no, that's a really great observation. And actually, this complicated short A split, New York has a similar one. It's just slightly less complicated.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
No, it's fascinating.
And here's it says here the rules are a tense, when the vowel follows M, N, S, F, or a voiceless TH sound.
All right, so give us an example.
So that sentence is a little wrong. It's not when it follows, it's when it proceeds.
Okay.
All right.
So it's the direct opposite.
yeah. But close enough.
Right.
So example, man, laugh, half, and then you get some lexical exceptions. So mad and bad.
Bad.
Don't rhyme. Yeah. So like mad doesn't rhyme with sad in Philly.
Okay.
Oh.
Mad and sad.
And sad. Man. But man, he was sad.
But it's a subtle distinction, but it's accurate.
Funny.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's flip-flopping. The reason it's such a dramatic change is it's not just a change in pronunciation. It's actually just like the words that belong in each category are basically flip-flopping. So in the new pattern is instead of saying laugh, you say laugh.
Well, yeah.
But also instead of saying manage, you say manage.
Manage.
Yeah.
Quick. All right. So quick question. Do these changes for the most part happen just internally? Is it a product of just the evolution over the indigenous people of Philadelphia, or does it happen as a result of an influx of people from outside Philadelphia?
Oh, dude, you should get your PhD. That is exactly the question I asked for like 6 years.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So we thought for a while that it would just be exactly the innovations from the endogenous population. So basically kids making it up.
Okay.
And a lot of changes that happen are just kids are making it up. But this particular change, I did a little bit of computational modeling in my dissertation, and it turns out that this change is most likely due to dialect contact with people moving into the city.
Okay.
And in fact, you can see this really strongly actually in the – so changes that happen sort of organically usually start in the upper working classes and lower middle classes, and then spread outward. And in this change, we see it happening first in these like very elite public schools,
huh,
or elite private schools. So like, you know, expensive schools,
right,
or schools that you have to either be really smart to get into, or there's also a correlation with social class. So what that suggests is, so we're talking like Germantown Friends, Masterman and Central.
All right.
Okay. So Betsy, does that mean that a more working class person might not expand their area that they travel to, or people that they kind of stay where they are, as opposed to people who have a little bit more money can maybe travel to different areas? But I mean, we're all influenced by television and social media,
yes,
and all that nowadays. How come it's less influential to the lower class?
Well, so there's a lot going on here. So it's not that it's not influential. It's just the question is who starts the change. So if the change starts in the lower class, that's a good suggestion that it's, you know, the kids in the city are making it up. And if a change starts in the upper classes are usually the latest to adopt a change.
Okay.
Unless that change is coming from dialect contact with other prestigious dialects.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Quick question, and then Nick has a question as well. So in this case, I mean, I love that. I love the old, you know, the old style, the dialect, the true Philadelphian dialect. You know, that you'll hear. There's a woman who calls into the show. Her name is Flossie, and she has. It's just like it's sort of.
She's straight up like South Philly.
It's
right?
It's just musical. It's so cool. Also,
beautiful.
A lot of times people in that area, or at least, are surrounded by similarly speaking people, and that does that help to retain the longevity, yes, of that?
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
All right.
You find people tend to have tighter social networks too.
Right.
So it's like they live in their neighborhood, and their friends are there, and their family are there, and maybe they work nearby, and when you get such a tight social network, that's a great way to retain a local dialect.
Betsy, you tweeted about something the other day where somebody said, instead of saying done with my exams, they say done my exams. And the example that comes to mind in Philly is you don't say I'm going down to the shore. You say I'm going down the shore. Do you talk about about phraseology at all and dropping words completely from phrases where otherwise in other places in the country there would be a with or a preposition as a part of that phrase?
Yeah, so my focus is on pronunciation mostly, but there are other people who have done work on, we call that morphology.
Yeah.
Phrases. And one thing that they found, so this is work that Joe Fruwald and Neil Myler did, but they argued that done my homework, it actually is not that the person drops the whiz. It's actually just a completely different meaning.
I've executed.
Exactly. So the example they give is if a kid says, I'm done the computer, the only thing that can mean is a kid is building a computer and has finished it.
right.
Okay. All right. I like that.
One that always cracks me up is I've known him since I'm seven, which is because I am 7 years old.
Right.
I know him.
Right. Instead of I've known him
since I was seven.
Yeah.
Right.
Say it again.
People will say often, I hear it, I've known him since I'm seven, instead of since I was seven. But you know, we as these things happen and we start to adopt them, and I've even seen it happen that dictionaries will alter the pronunciation based on what the largest part of the population accepts as the way to say it. Have you seen that? Is that, does that happen? Or, you know, once or twice, I remember they made a deal about it where the pronunciation of a word has shifted and even the acknowledgement of the dictionary has changed to accommodate the most often, the most common way of saying it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we see that happening. Dictionaries are like the last thing to change. So you get cases where like the whole country is saying it some way, and then it's only after the entire country says it that way.
Okay.
Changes.
So they're naturally more reticent to adopt it because they want to be the last and final word.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
All right. So Betsy, when do you think that people will completely stop saying wooder? By what year?
Oh, man, I'm going to gamble on Philadelphian pride here and say that even if people stop saying daughter, they'll
daughter.
Keep on saying water.
There's too much love attached to that.
Yes. Daughter kills me.
Yeah. I try so hard to say water.
I know you do. You do it on purpose because you want to keep it alive.
I want to keep it alive.
Yeah. When I mentioned this article, by the way, Casey started getting pissy about it.
He was mad.
You were mad because essentially, Betsy, you said, at least the article was titled that millennials are killing the accent. And then Casey, you were like, oh, come on, man.
I'm joking around, you know, like you blame everything on the millennials or the
right. The millennials do catch a lot of crap.
But you seem to indicate that you fondly, you don't want to see the accent.
You know me a long time, and you don't know when I'm joking around.
You know him since you're seven.
I'm 22.
I've known you since I'm seven.
You know what, Casey? Here's one, Betsy, that Casey and he's very self aware of it, and we have fun with it. College.
Yeah, there's like a weird, like when there's a double L, it turns into a W of sorts.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's called L vocalization. And Philadelphia has one of the most beautiful examples of it. Because
beautiful.
Here I go. I love it so much. So in most places, you can only do that like at the end of a word, like ball. For example.
Yes.
But in Philly, you can do it in the middle of the word. So you might get, like, for example, the word alcoholic doesn't even have an L in it.
Alcoholic. Alcoholic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Alcoholic. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Very subtly, you just kind of brush over the L's.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's interesting because I know you like the local accent, Casey. I'm originally from the St. Louis area, Betsy, and my in-laws were just in town who still live in that area. And my mother-in-law very archly pronounces in that particular vernacular. And in that area, the word O-R, or, is pronounced as A-R-E, R. To use it as an example, if you were going to order something online, you would be ordering something online. Or
it's almost Celtic.
If you're on Highway 40, you're on Highway Farty. And we used to joke, you know, Farty Far and all that, because that was another highway in the area. And also, Wash is very clearly Warsh. Now, I grew up there. I never picked up on that for any particular reason. But if you are just diehard, right in the heart of it all,
that's
you speak
here.
That way. And the same way goes for here, too. Mm. Whether you're in the suburbs, because I know people who live out of my area that never lived in Philly, but talk about going to the Poconos and things like that. And they pick up on it. But you know, everybody's got their own area. I just didn't realize Philadelphia was quite so unique.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a great dialect. I love it.
Okay. Yeah. It seems to be a synthesis of some others as well. But you're saying in its uniqueness, it's probably head and shoulders above most others. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I will
not to be too self-inflating, but we might as well, because we make so many crappy lists. We might as well own something that's pretty cool.
Hey, yeah, exactly.
Right. So right now the change that's coming with, and so you're saying millennials driving most of it. To Preston's point, do you think we will see a time in which, for example, I'm from New York, but I'm often told I have a fairly antiseptic.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. So, do you think we'll start to see a time in Philadelphia where we will have the majority of people speaking in a way that would be hard to identify them as Philadelphians?
That's a tricky question.
Yeah.
I think it is possible that like normal people will think that, that linguists will get in and be able to notice things.
To notice it. Okay. Okay. All right.
Betsy, I think you'll appreciate this. So I had a friend who worked in the television industry here in Philadelphia. He's from Philadelphia. He has since moved from here and works out in LA. But in the start of his career, somebody told him that his Philadelphia accent was so bad. So he bought a book and he took classes to get rid of his accent. And now he sounds very neutral. Like, you would not be able to tell one bit that he's from Philadelphia. And he actually gave me, when I first started out in the industry, he gave me a few pointers because I was getting a little bit, and I think I still do have it, but I work hard on certain words so that I don't I don't say water, you know?
Yeah. This is one of the biggest bummers for me that, you know, I love local dialects. I think they're incredible, but we also live in a world where, like, especially if you work in the media, in order to be, you know, get ahead or be taken seriously, to some extent, you do have to kind of adopt that, like, neutral sounding. Mm-hmm.
You're dissuaded from having that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Betsy, what would you say?
Bummer, because they sound so amazing.
They do. I mean, they're fascinating, and they're also endearing. I mean, people, you know, when you recognize a Philly accent, there's something warm about that. What would you say?
Exactly.
Which metropolitan area, and I would guess it'd be in the Northeast, is most similar to the Philadelphia accent?
Oh, I think New York would have to be. They share quite a few features.
I hear it all the time, especially Long Islanders. Kathy knows because I'll make fun of, not make fun of, but it's the same sort of, same sort of thing. On a working class level, you get it. So it sounds like home to me. And it actually it creates a warm feeling, but I find it more unique and pure here, which I love. So and I think to many of these things, many of these words, many of these pronunciations, you smile when you hear it because it's what it's authentic.
Yeah, I've heard people describe Philly as sounding like New York with a little Southern.
Yes, I think so. That makes sense.
This might be interesting to you. I did a perception experiment where basically I played people sound clips of somebody pronouncing things in a Philly way versus in this like more neutral sounding incoming way.
Right.
And asked them, what do you think this person is like? You know, how nice are they? How honest are they? How friendly are they?
Oh my gosh.
Interesting.
And you get a big difference. People interpret the Philly accent as sounding honest was a big one that came out.
Yeah.
They don't sound more friendly, but they do sound more trustworthy.
Okay.
I would say that.
You take them for their word.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Interesting.
That would all hold true.
In this article, Betsy, and I don't know if you touched on this or not, but it had mentioned accents between the white community and the black community. And the Philadelphia accent in both of those. Do you study that as well?
I've done a little bit of work on Black Philly English as well. But, my dissertation focused on the white speakers just because that's where the really dramatic change in short A is happening.
No kidding.
It's the short A that's driving the whole thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it is cool. It made us all laugh when you were able to break that down because it's something that's very familiar to us. So.
Yeah.
Very cool. And your podcast, what is the name of your podcast?
It's not my podcast. I was just a guest on it.
Okay.
It's called The Vocal Fries. it's Carrie Gillen and Megan Figueroa. They're two linguists. It's a great podcast. You should all check it out.
All right.
And have you, by the way, do you still have some of that accent in your own speech? Are you able to analyze your own speech, Betsy, without, you know, or do you have to have someone else do that?
So I'm actually from Michigan.
Okay.
So unfortunately, I'm not from Philly. but I do have my own native dialect stuff that like will start to come out, especially if I'm, you know, like on the phone to my mom, for example.
Yes.
I notice it come out where I'm like, oh, hi, Mom, you know.
Hi, Mom. Ma'am, does Detroit have its own set of vernacular?
Yes, absolutely. So it's kind of interesting. The dialect area that I'm part of, it's huge. It spreads all the way from Chicago all the way over to like Rochester, New York.
Yeah. Yeah. They're, it's funny because that'll be a more difficult area. My ear's pretty attuned to a lot of this, but it'll be harder to distinguish between. That's a large chunk of
yeah, I can't tell similarity. If somebody's from Buffalo or from Michigan.
Exactly. And that's not your fault. We sound the same.
Yeah.
It's very cool. Well, all right. Awesome.
Interesting stuff, Betsy. So some of it's I know you don't like the term softening or fading or anything along those lines, but there are changes that have been taking place. And most recently, it's been happening kind of quickly per this article, correct?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Within the span of two generations. So
interesting.
And where can we get Betsy Sneller t-shirts? Because we're looking at your picture here.
Man.
You're very photogenic.
Oh, thank you. just get a gritty t-shirt and tell them.
There you go. Right. I love it.
That's a quick fix. I like it.
It's fascinating stuff. Thanks for joining us, Betsy. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you. All right.
Betsy Sneller. Guys.
Yeah.
There you go.
Very cool.
It's interesting stuff. Years ago, somebody had sent me an article about dialects and the Caucasian versus African-American dialect, and I started to read in it, and man, do they pick apart every little tiny bit of pronunciation
and so forth
that I never even thought about, and it actually kind of... It was confusing as much as I was reading about the nuance.
Phonically, it's got to be, you're looking for sometimes the subtlest difference, you know. And so that's why when I do my completely over-the-top dialects, it's just because it's an obvious.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Sure. Absolutely. It's a caricature.
Right. Exactly.
I was playing golf a couple of months ago with a guy I'd never met before, wasn't familiar with the show. And about three quarters of the way through the round of golf, he's like, "You from Ohio or something like that?" And I was like, "St. Louis." He's like, "Okay, yeah." He's like, I was picking up a little bit of
you talk weird.
Yeah,
you talk weird. But you talk stupid.
But I wasn't hearing anything very dramatic in his pronunciation at all. But for some reason, he had picked up that I was from the Midwest.
That's because I am an android.
I didn't necessarily pick up on I didn't know I had a quote unquote accent until. I dated a girl from North Jersey, and I went and visited her. And
it's a Jersey girl.
Well, they were making fun of me.
Really?
Yeah. And I didn't, because of the way I said phone, and even in my ears right now, I'm saying it right. And they were like, and we had said the word back and forth a few different times. I'm like, I'm saying what you're saying. You're saying phone. I'm saying phone.
I'm making chicken over here.
I was wondering what that noise was.
Crumpled paper sounded very loud.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm like, we're both saying phone. I don't. How am I supposed to say phone?
If somebody points it out to me, mm-hmm. I hear it. Like if I say phone, you know, because my cousin from New York.
Do you overcorrect?
Yes.
Then can I use your fan?
No. Then I will overcorrect. Yes, I will hear it and I'll try to correct it. But my friend's daughter goes to school in Pittsburgh, and she just texted me and said that her friends out there will call her in. They're like, "Say class."
Yeah.
Class.
Exactly. I've done that before. When I was a kid, I had a Southern accent. Because I was born in Tennessee. I lived in South Carolina for a little bit of time. So I grew up, my family speaks with a bit of a drawl, especially my dad.
Yeah.
So when we first moved to the St. Louis area, which I was in like fifth grade, or actually we lived there twice. But anyhow, people used to ask me to say things because I had a really pretty pronounced Southern accent.
They
found it hilarious.
Yeah.
When I hear, when I hear someone like Flossie, for example, it just feels, it's like a warm feeling.
Hi, Flossie, you're on the air.
Hey, sisters.
Hey, what?
Making fun of my voice?
No. Did you think? What did we just say like 15 times? It gives us a warm feeling. And if that's making fun.
I think she's joking.
Okay.
I think she's all good.
I'm sorry, guys. I actually missed part of it. My husband called me and he said.
Damn him.
You got it. You got it. I'm like, oh,
where did you grow up?
All of you and I don't know. Where is the accent? I don't hear it. But I could never. I could never disguise my voice to anyone because they know who I am.
Yeah,
they do know. You sound sweet. You know, you're warm. And we know that to be true. But it's a nice sound.
Flossie, did you grow up in South Philly? Is that where you're from?
I actually grew up for the first couple years of my life. And I wanted to tell you, Kathy, that it's not past young, it's past young.
That's exactly what I say, and people give me a hard time.
But Floss, it's where are you from?
24th and past 24th and Pashunk.
That's where you're from, 24th and Pashunk?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
And you still live there? Are you in Delco now?
I'm Delco all the way now,
yeah,
man.
Buddy. Well, it was when we had those when they had the marshmallow guy, him and his friend on the air. I just got such a kick out of them. A, they were funny, but B, you know, they had some pretty pronounced accents that I probably was never aware of before, but have been made aware of it over the last couple of decades.
It's funny.
Hey, where did Jackie Bam Bam grow up?
Well, all right, so he
France.
No,
Jersey,
Well, he grew up. He went to St. Eugene's for a little bit in like the Primo Cicane area, but he went to not Cherokee Lenape High School,
so South Jersey though.
Yeah, so
because he has the most pronounced accent of anybody on the station. Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, and it's he has
he
not
doesn't
made,
try to hide.
He's
it.
Made no effort to get rid of it.
That's his bread and butter.
Yeah. He likes to play Iron Maiden.
Yes.
Iron Maiden. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that silly accent goes right into Delco. It just smooths right on over.
Have you seen Iron Man? He can fly.
Yeah. well, nice. So, but you don't hear it, Flossie. You just...
You and I
have the same pronunciation of words.
Yeah. I don't hear it at all. I mean, you know.
All right.
I love it.
Moon, water, it just sounds all the same to me.
I got you.
Well, we love you.
All right. Thanks, Flossie.
Love you guys.
All right. We'll talk
have
to you later.
Have a great one.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
He's adorable.
All right. Interesting. Well, you know, according to Betsy and this report that she's been doing for 6 years, the accent is changing a little bit. So we'll see how that goes over the next few years.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we have to take a break because our next guest is here, and he's going to be in studio. When we return from Ghost, we will have Tobias Forge. They're playing tonight at the Tower Theater, so we'll spend some time in just a second. Stay with us. We'll be back in a minute.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Cool gifts are what Worldwide Stereo is all about. Wrap a genuine surprise and wow someone all year long. Montgomeryville, Ardmore, and online at worldwidestereo.com.
Hey gang, this holiday season, your special someone is going to unwrap and unwind if you get them a gift card from Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa. And there's a special offer. You can save $10 on spa gift cards at regular pricing, or you can buy a holiday spa package and you get a free massage or facial gift card with that. Go to handandstone.com today for all the information.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
If you love paying for shipping, you're going to hate Steven Singer. Free shipping both ways, making return and exchanges easy. Visit him online at IHateStevenSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So our next guest has a lot of cool things going on. One of them would be the fact that there are two Grammy nominations for the upcoming awards ceremonies.
Pretty cool.
Rock Album of the Year, Rock Song of the Year. Last year was in town to play the MMRBQ, and I also saw that Metal Hammer named the album prequel Metal Album of the Year. Please welcome the man behind Ghost. It's Tobias Forge.
Morning,
Tobias. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I want to apologize ahead of time because your band has been around since 2006. You guys have developed this wonderful following and success, and I'm pretty much new to Ghost. I've heard of and seen pictures and so on and so forth, but have now just recently been introduced to what you're all about and all that. So my questions may come from the perspective of a new fan. Yeah, as opposed
no one's
to,
perfect. It's
as opposed, well, listen, because I know how fanatical your fans are. Last year, when we announced that you were going to be playing at our festival show, the MMRBQ, I was in Lowe's, and a guy came up to me, and he recognized me, and he said, oh, you know, hey, I heard you guys are having Ghost on the bill. I said, yeah. I go, are you a fan? And he pulls up his sleeve, and he's got a big Ghost tattoo on his arm. I was like, oh,
that's a fan.
The band's at that level. So you've got some very serious fans. I mean, some people that have been with you and are tried and true. And that's got to feel wonderful. And it's been kind of a slow build. You've played and played and toured and worked and just kind of like a snowball gathered more and more along the way. Correct?
Yeah, I think that the biggest, not the biggest step, but going from very little to something, from nothing to something, was the, when the first album came out. And then once we started touring, we, you know, I already had my mindset quite clearly that what I wanted to do with my life. So once I got the opportunity, you know, we started touring a lot, and that obviously takes a lot of time, and it's a long route. It's a long way to the top.
It seems that you did what I think is a really cool, proper trajectory. You sampled and played in different genres of music. You are a very competent musician yourself, and have been evolving into your sound and how to get your sound out there. In other words, it happened through attrition incrementally, and that I assume lends a level of confidence as you start to go along and start to pick up steam. I mean, you've everything from, I guess, straight up, you know, punk to sort of an alternative sound to a heavier metal, like a death metal, or as I'm reading over the history of the band, all these different iterations, and I think as you're probably going along, correct me if I'm wrong, you're able to sort of pick things that you like and sort of make them into your own. Was that the process?
Yeah, basically, yeah. When the earliest seeds of what became Ghost was planted and nurtured, I had several different projects or bands,
right?
That all were, I guess, a little bit more niched. I've never been like, well, my death metal band was kind of straight, but it was still, when I was doing Repugnant, there was definitely a lot of older punk guys,
right,
that were like, oh, I can clearly hear that you like Dead Kennedys. Like,
right, yeah.
So it was still like very mixed in different vibes. I mean, my musical background where I started have always shown through to some extent. And then it might not be as evident as some people want it to be, like very, very clear.
Easily classified.
Easily classified.
No, I hear you.
And easily detected.
Yeah.
And even though I am physically, not today maybe so much, but I always, you know, try to wear a lot of influences on my sleeve.
Yeah.
But not necessarily musically. It's not like I wanted to sound like one specific thing. But the one thing that got me very, very feeling intuitively freed up,
yeah,
doing Ghost was because of the mash between so many different things. It was, I could utilize a lot of my sort of more extreme metal chops, riffing wise, and mix them with basically AOR sort of choruses.
Mm-hmm. Which that surprised us, and that's honestly, we've talked about that many times on the show. Between the and to Preston's point, when we were first starting to be introduced to the imagery of Ghost,
right,
and then heard the sound. And we had some fun with that, because it was like they're all different things and different, you know.
I initially thought I was going to hear that death metal thing, and then I hear this really smooth melodic voice of yours, and I'm like, wait a minute,
yeah,
okay, this is a different thing. There are melodies here that I wasn't expecting,
right?
Yeah, and so it was surprising. I'm going to get to Prequel, the album, because I do have some questions about that, but about you and the band's persona and these characters, Papa Emeritus and Cornucopia and all this, you pulled off something. And I know you were a Kiss fan. You were younger. I was, well. They were, you know, they were just these rock gods to me. And they did makeup, obviously. But we knew who Gene Simmons was. We knew who Alice Cooper, you know, or even on the Alice Cooper side.
Alice Cooper is a perfect example, in that line.
But we knew these names. You, however, managed to say it was a mystery as to who you even were. How did you pull that off? Because you were already playing with other musicians around Sweden. People knew who you were. And all of a sudden, how did you hide you and the other members of the band?
Hiding myself was probably the easiest thing. It's harder to hide other people.
Right, yeah. Right.
Especially since You know, most people that would hang a guitar over your crotch does so for usually a few different reasons, and one of them is usually because you want to be seen. And I am no different. I also want recognition, and I, you know, I'm as exhibitionistic as any other artist.
Right, right.
You know, however, this is sort of key to understand what Ghost was to begin with. It was just one of my projects.
Okay.
To begin with.
Okay.
And it just happened to be something that I felt very strongly for as I was working with it.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, I was very much in the
public eye.
Wanting to become a big recognized person. But since Ghost happened to be the thing that happened and made it for me, I also became very fond of the idea of maybe not being so recognized.
It's interesting because Preston mentioned Alice Cooper, and there's a great documentary. There's actually a couple documentaries about Alice Cooper and Alice Cooper's agent.
Mm.
And there was, you know, he had a similar trajectory in that what was going to work for him. And when the creation of the Alice persona came into being, that's when it worked. It propelled him forward. And so they were, you know, it sounds like you had all these different things. You loved this aspect of it, and this just happened to be the one that took it. It wasn't as orchestrated as, say, we need an angle. It's like this was one of the things you loved, and it just happened to sink. But it wasn't an orchestrated effort to find that angle, correct?
Not in 2006.
Okay, yeah.
No, at that point, it was a project.
Yeah.
And therefore, you could distribute your different avenues, whatever, you know, into, like, I want this project. Oh, let's be anonymous. Let's be dressed up. Let's
right.
do that.
Yeah.
And then you could wholeheartedly do that. If I had known in 2006, as the first songs were written, that this is going to be your life's work, man.
Right.
Right.
I might have taken a few. I've done a few stupid decisions in yeah. my life, obviously, but
right.
but I would probably start screwing it up.
Okay,
but just because okay. of those years of development, I think a lot of the things that when we finally sort of hit the market in 2010, I think a lot of that groundwork that was done before there even was a band,
right.
Aided the impression that people had when we got out, basically. And then to answer your question, I think it was very much on the well, you know, it was very much because of people liking it, and they liked the idea that it was anonymous, as okay. opposed to most other things on the market where everything is very over
in your face. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
With that, with the image and the theatrics that come with it, and speaking of Alice Cooper, I saw an interview with him one time saying that, you know, these bands would come up to him and say, oh, we got this great gimmick, this is this, blah, blah, blah. And his reaction was, that's great. Where's the song?
Hmm.
Where's the song? So it comes back to music being obviously the most important, because if you don't have the music to surround the theatrics and so forth, you're not going to keep people. And so music is obviously, is that the most important part of Ghost and the creation?
Oh, of course. Without okay. that, we don't have a, it's like having a fantastic location and a really nice interior, but if you can't serve the food,
right?
Yeah.
No one comes because
What's
you have nice chairs.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about Prequel. Some wonderful stuff on here and a really surprising saxophone solo.
Really?
That came out of nowhere as I was listening to that. And that's on an instrumental, which I was delighted that you have on the album as well, because I'm a fan of progressive rock and conceptual rock, and I miss really good instrumentals, which I thought was really cool. Was the sax your idea? And by the way, question before that, do you produce the albums or do you have a producer that does that work for you?
I usually work with a producer.
Okay.
But I'm very... I'm very opinionated.
Okay, so was the saxophone your idea to fit into a metal album?
That was my idea.
That was really cool. Nice. It's really well done.
Yeah, I like, I mean, I am a big fan of saxophone in general, but I mean, I like a lot of, as most people do, I think, if you like rock and roll, there's certain moments and certain songs that I've always been a big fan of, and Bruce Springsteen has a few songs where, you know, when you think that it cannot be more climactic, all of a sudden there's a sax solo and you're like, yeah!
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It just screams like nocturnal, big stadium rock.
Yeah.
And Stones does that as well. And so it, for me, that's associated with, like, that's the higher gear.
Okay.
When you thought you could not go any, it's like in Back
Goes
to the
to
Future.
11.
Yeah, Back to the Future 3, when they put that sort of extra wood in, and
right,
all of a sudden,
right, like, right, right, the train takes off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's how you, that's the sax. Yeah.
Some interesting work with keyboards on it as well, because to my ears, I heard piano, pipe organ, Hammond organ. I heard some awesome Moog synthesizer in there as well.
Mm.
Who is, are you a pianist, or do you play keyboards?
I would not call myself a pianist.
Okay.
I'm not a, like, I cannot sit and play a concert, but I like to write on keyboards, and I like to, I definitely utilize that very much in my writing.
But in the studio, it's you've done. I think I was reading. I forget which album it was, but you basically just had a session drummer, and you played virtually all the instruments yourself, right? Is that
at some point or another, everything that's been on our albums, I've played.
Okay, but not for the live performance. Obviously, you need your it's not your position.
Well, and usually now on the later records, a lot of the things have I like for them to be recreated by someone who plays it really well.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm a little bit of jack of several trades when it comes to playing. I'm an able drummer. I'm a quite good bass player. I'm a quite good guitar player. I can sing, like, me very well.
Yeah.
I'm very good at, like, harmonizing. If I had a better singer in front of me, I can harmonize really well.
Okay.
But I'm not, like, I'm definitely not a saxophone player. I can't play, like, a piano.
Right.
But I know exactly how I want it to be played. I know that, oh, this is the figure. This is what I want you to do.
Right.
But I can't play it. I can sit, and with, you know, the technic wonders of today, you can sort of place it in the computer. So on the demo, you have a lot of the things that I have played. But it will sound so much better if you give that track to, I have a friend, his name is Salim, who's an absolute, he's a God-gifted, like, he's a wonder.
Yeah.
He's one of the best musicians ever. So anything that I would do on a keyboard or a Hammond or a piano in a computer, he wrote it himself.
Right,
and
right.
Absolutely masterfully. And you do it blindfolded, like
that pisses you off, doesn't it?
No, it's to my great advantage.
Yeah.
It's a joy working with that.
Right,
so why
right.
not utilize Excessive. Someone like that who does it way better?
We've been playing Rats and Dance Macabre off of a prequel. And I was curious, in the song Rats, which is an awesome opener, by the way, it really kicks off the album well. Who or what are the rats that you're referring to lyrically?
Those are actual physical
rats.
Yeah, rodents.
Okay, rodents. I wasn't sure.
Yeah,
cut
no,
right
no,
to the chase.
No, deeper.
Just the
okay. Hey, when I talk about fire, I mean an actual
you mean fire.
Fire.
I mean burning.
It's not
yeah,
symbolic.
Bonfire.
Okay. Not symbolic at all.
Fair enough.
Rats
fair enough.
And fire.
Right. Everything is just completely literal.
I was wondering with the Papa Emeritus characters and now Cardinal Copia and probably more characters to come. That's just a guess. Is there potential for a film with all of these characters of any sort?
You're a horror film fan. We know that.
I am.
And
well,
that would seem a likely transition.
Possibly. My biggest wish right now is actually to make a pinball machine.
A pinball machine? Are you a player yourself?
I love pinball
machines. That is rife material for a pinball machine.
Yes. And from like the amount of characters and like mythos that we have,
yeah,
that's a little bit more my focus right now.
Really?
Just knowing that I want to make a pinball machine.
Wow. I love that.
Enough, like, fodder to sort of like make that now.
Yeah.
So. $1 million and I never would have guessed that Tobias wants to create a pinball machine out of ghosts.
That's brilliant. Have an entire rock career.
Oh, I love pinball.
Predicated on a pinball machine, but that would work because pinball is, it it makes total sense.
It's a long way to the top if you want to have a pinball machine.
Do you own any pinball machines yourself?
Not yet.
All right.
But it's definitely, I have a long... Yeah, like a purchase list of things that I want in my so-called man cave.
Right.
All right. So your live show is very theatrical. So he's asking about movies. Have you ever given any thought to actually creating a musical, something that can be seen on Broadway?
I have. However, I think it's the one different aspect of what I have in mind, mm-hmm. as opposed to other rock musicals, is that most other rock musicals, I mean, except for Tommy, I guess, and a few more, but is that we're not technically an historic band, so we wouldn't be like a legacy. Yeah. No, it would not be a legacy thing where there would be a retrospective of all our songs.
But I don't even mean Ghost. I mean Tobias Forge writing a story and the music and all of that.
Right.
A la Phantom of the Opera, but more ghostish. Yeah.
Right. This is where I guess it becomes a little bit schizophrenic because it's how... I mean, I am not... like a big artist myself.
Okay. Yeah.
I am, a somewhat successful songwriter now, but I think that my value is Ghost.
Okay.
And my writing via Ghost. And just because of the imagery and the little bit of a legacy we do have, I think that the best way to explain what I would propose to a production company is basically a little bit like, speaking of prog bands, a little bit like Goblin.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Ghost would be like the composer of the track.
Okay.
And we would lend maybe a character to play... the main character, you know. You'd have like Cardinal Copia or Papa Emeritus play the character of this villain.
Yeah, okay.
But still, you'd obviously, I am not a screenplay writer. I would probably not entertain the idea of writing the whole thing myself. I would probably do a story that I already like a lot, mm-hmm. that I would love to put music on, and then try to do my rendition of it.
Okay.
But with someone else, obviously, because it's a big endeavor doing let's just say that we are looking at the prospects and we know it takes a lot of time and a lot of collaboration.
And you're a little busy right now.
Yeah. I'm busy and we've been talking about it for years. So we're very much doing the political stuff right now and trying to achieve that.
Right.
But that is still like 4 or 5 years in the future.
Ghost is playing the Tower Theater tonight. I wanted to ask for a practical question and playing these characters, Papa Emeritus and now Cardinal Copia. The Cardinal seems to use less makeup. Is that, are you just loving that you have to do less makeup now?
For me, it is not less makeup.
It's more makeup or it seems about...
No, it's the same amount of makeup. It's just less colors.
Okay, all right. Now, with that, because one time I did my entire face up in makeup for Halloween, and like 5 minutes into the party, this stuff's getting in my eyes. I'm sweating. Yeah. It's running all over the place. What do you do to keep that from happening?
Curse a lot.
Curse a lot. Deal with it. It's going to happen regardless.
Yeah, no, believe me, some days I really, really hate it with a passion.
I'll bet you do. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very complicated, and it really makes life so much harder.
And now with a cardinal, you put a thing in your eye.
Contact.
Right? Like a contact in your eye.
No, I've always done that.
Yeah. Have you always done that?
Yeah, with
originally it was supposed to be two, but I can't have two because one of my eyes just rejects it.
No kidding.
Yeah.
It'll just pop out.
That's why it became like that.
Okay. Oh, you have to, and you have to watch when anything you're screwing around with your eyes with. Talking about the imagery, you're a fan of the kind of the era of horror films that I am a fan of, the 70s and 80s, you're a fan of Stranger Things as well, yes?
I am.
Yeah, and that sort of thing. How much does that sort of stuff inform your music, your love of horror movies? Is it just something that runs concurrent, or do the influences seep in a lot?
The historical impact of all the films that I've seen is definitely,
yeah.
I could definitely, a lot of the things that I'm doing with Ghost specifically is very infused by my love of cinema in general.
What's your favorite horror movie of that time? I have to ask the question, what is your favorite horror movie of all time?
I usually differentiate between the films that I find cool and the films that I find good.
Yeah.
Because those are not necessarily the same things.
Right.
I don't want to swear in church more than I am on a daily basis. Paid for.
Right.
But you know, I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus. But a lot of the classic, well-known cult directors, specifically Italian ones. At the end of the day, I must say that some of their works are more cool than they are masterfully done. It's
like Dario Argento or Mario Bava, these guys, Suspiria and things like that.
I love those films.
Yeah,
but from if I want to, from a strictly cinematic point of view, where I regard like all the things that goes into a good film. Not only photography and scenography and story, but also the idea of having parallels and dynamics and all those things that is important for a film. Unfortunately, at the end of the day, I think that the best horror films ever made were made by the big directors that hasn't really done a whole lot of horror films besides those. And that is The Shining, and that's Jaws. And
The Exorcist was William Friedkin.
The Exorcist. Because unfortunately, the horror filmmaking is a little bit troubled by the same thing that I think a lot of metal is. It's written and it's performed and it's executed from such a fan perspective that sometimes the idea of making like a groundbreaking movie is sort of lost because you just want to make this tribute to the horror film
section. I agree.
Section.
Yeah.
And that's why when, you know, Kubrick makes a horror film, he makes a film. It just happens to be horrific.
Yeah. No, I can
but
see that.
But it goes
that.
With the same mindset that he would make Eyes Wide Shut or 2001 or you know.
There was a special documentary recently on Kubrick that basically said exactly what you just said.
Yes.
He was not looking to make a horror movie. He was making to create a movie that had horrible elements in it.
Yes.
And try to avoid common tropes in horror movies. And you know, but that and that's how it becomes a classic. But it's interesting. Yeah, I agree. Actually, Eli Roth has a great series. Mm. Have you been watching that series? It's all horror directors talking about the state of the horror film now and their past favorites. And it's probably something you would like a great deal.
I've not seen the series, but I'm obviously familiar with his work.
Yeah. So it's very cool.
Well, listen, Tobias, we want to thank you for coming by here. The show, for those who are familiar or do not know, Ghost is in town tonight, man.
Yes.
They're playing the Tower Theater. Show's at 8 o'clock, livenation.com. Not sure if there's tickets that remain or not, but take a look and see if you can get them. But you're a very nice guy. It's very nice to meet you, and we appreciate you coming by here this morning.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
And continued success. And good luck with the Grammy nominations and congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thanks.
And enjoy your time in Philadelphia. Tobias Forge.
Yeah.
Ghost. We shall take a break and we'll come back in just a moment. Stay with us.
From all of us at WMMR and the Preston and Steve Show, we are so grateful to everyone who helped out with Camp Out this year. Thanks for every donation, large and small, benefiting our neighbors in need.
This year, total for Camp Out for Hunger that you brought in, $1.826 million.
Holy hell! Camp Out would not be possible without the generosity of you, our great friends and listeners, and our partners.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger.
From 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
I think I got some beef files. Oh, you know what? Before I get to the beef file, I do want to thank our friends from Dietz and Watson. And also Deli on 4th, who came in serving Conchi with the best sandwiches in the neighborhood since 1975. It's just one of the reasons why Deli on 4th is a Dietz and Watson Real Philly Deli. You can learn more at WMMR.com. Keyword is deli. And check the new video of Casey's Real Deli, Real Philly Deli tour.
So they brought in some breakfast wraps. And I was going to do the perfunctory, you know, little bites, because I want to make sure that when I say that, you know, that I'm speaking the truth. I've tried the food and, you know, I ate the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Hey, by the way, I meant to thank our buddy John Lateker, who was here for the Tobias Forge interview. So Tobias doesn't like being photographed or filmed. He still is kind of trying to stay somewhat anonymous with his characters, Cardinal Copia and Papa Emeritus. So we're like, okay, fine. How about we get a sketch artist to come in? So John Lateker is our friend, and he's an amazing muralist. He's an
incredible artist. Yeah.
So he was doing a sketch of Tobias while he was here, and it's funny because Tobias actually still wants that to remain a bit anonymous.
Yeah.
And when Tobias got here, I understand what he meant by not wanting video or pictures, because we had seen a filmed interview with him, but he's wearing these hat, glasses, and a fake mustache. So he's still trying to keep, and he came in here just as himself, and he looks like just a normal guy.
He looks like a freshman at Drexel.
He does. Yeah.
So he, and completely different. Couldn't have been nicer and engaging. And I mean, that's, you know, here's a guy who's, this is a throwback to, as we invoked the name of Alice Cooper and a Kiss and all of this stuff that was fun. I mean, you know, and we've had fun with, and he did, you know, recognize the fact that the initial imagery you see is not what you're hearing.
Right.
You know?
And he off air, by the way, was super, super friendly.
Yeah.
He was very nice. Some people kind of, he takes his time with interviews and is very, he wants to take in what you're asking and think about a correct answer. And so some people were saying maybe he sounded a little pompous or tired.
No.
He's just taking his time. That's just the way he is. Very thoughtful. He's super, super polite and really, really nice.
He was. And he asked me if I was able to make it to the show tonight. And he asked all of us that, which I thought was really cool. And I said, actually, no, I'm going to a different concert. I'll be at the Dave Matthews Band show at the Wells Fargo Center. And he said, they're a bit more housebroken.
It's tough for us to do it. And when people ask us, obviously, you know, a 3:45 wake up call doesn't really help with a concert, you know, scheduled during the week.
Yeah.
But we did get to see him at the barbecue, and that was that was cool.
Yeah. So John, the artist, by the way, was doing a sketch of Tobias, and we'll have that online at some time in the near future. Tobias was requesting a very, very very pronounced mullet on him while he was doing it. So I can't wait to see how that turns out.
To watch, you know, I have an iPad Pro, just like John's using, and his little stuff looks better. Yeah. I'm okay, but
it's so lifelike and realistic. It's unbelievable.
And the fact that he can do that digitally.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. That could be iPads.
Sorry.
The problem is with the Window Nation copy, and we love it, is that it starts off, it's almost quoting Rocky V. And so, yeah, we go right into it, and we apologize because we are massive Window Nation fans.
Oh, will you? Hey, you know,
these windows aren't really. They're not holding in the heat.
All right. What were you going to say? I interrupted you with a billion.
It's like a billion.
No. Don't even remember.
It doesn't matter. Hopefully we'll have John's sketch up for you on social media.
For what?
We got tickets to see Ghost tonight. Oh, ho, ho. Papa Emeritus.
What?
And Corporal Copia.
No.
No, Rocky, it's Cardinal Copia.
What's that? Who's that? A billion names. Corporal Copia.
Billion.
Oh, my.
We're looking at some of his murals, John's murals.
Yeah, we're looking at this right now.
He's so good.
He's got murals all over Philly that are amazing.
Zach was a million.
Yes. Oh, okay. I should do the bizarre file right. If I can get through
you
it.
You know. Oh.
Here we go.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Okay. This morning, Bizarre File is brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville with everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. So visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional information. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else? A teacher for a class in New Hampshire in which students were videotaped singing about the Ku Klux Klan to the tune of Jingle Bells has been placed on paid administrative leave.
Where along the line did that exactly even remotely seem like a good idea?
So the superintendent, William Harbin, said that they're putting John Carver on leave and it will allow school officials to fully investigate what happened.
It was a joke.
Cell phone footage surfaced over the weekend of the students singing KKK, KKK, let's kill all the blacks.
Oh, my God, no.
In class.
Lord.
The incident was part of a class assignment about the Reconstruction period in American history. The president of the teachers union says that they are working with school officials to determine the facts and why that actually happened. All right,
there's nothing you need to say.
Here's a follow-up story on an internet sensation. I don't know if you guys remember Roger the Buff Kangaroo.
Yes.
Looked all ripped up. Like,
looks like a very muscular muscle pig.
He died.
Yeah.
He was only 12 years old, unfortunately.
He was doing a bench press and the bar fell on his neck.
The muscle-bound animal stood over 6 feet tall from tip to tail and weighed 89 kilograms, putting him ahead above the rest of the kangaroos at the Kangaroo Sanctuary in the Northern Territory. He had certainly come a long way since he was picked up as a tiny orphan Joey sitting on the side of the road beside his dead mother back in 2006. Aww. Roger made headlines in 2015 when he was pictured crushing a metal bucket with his paws. The sanctuary manager, Chris Barnes, announced Roger's death on Facebook. He said, "It's a very sad day here. We lost our beautiful boy, Roger. 10 years ago, I built this sanctuary to house Roger and a couple of his wives. I built it so they'd have a place to live. Roger was our alpha male for many years, and he grew up."
Yes, I'm married to Roger the kangaroo. He's so muscular.
"To be a kangaroo that people from all over the world have grown to love as much as we love him."
What is this? What is this recent trend of muscle-bound animals?
I know.
What the hell's going on here?
It's been happening lately. Yeah. Pigs and cows.
Cows, squirrels.
Yeah.
Wait, do we know? I'm sorry. Did you reveal why he's that muscular?
He just was.
He just worked out a lot.
He worked out a lot.
Who knows?
Some people CrossFit are more motivated.
CrossFit, yeah.
CrossFit, I'm sorry.
Curves.
Roger's fame spread as far as Japan, where plastic toys of the kangaroo in various poses were available from vending machines.
You could take it, Mr. Kangaroo.
So, unfortunately, he passed away, poor guy. A video that shows a foreign couple in a naked embrace at the summit of the Great Khufu Pyramid of Giza.
Yes.
Is sparking reactions among Egyptians. The 3-minute video recorded at night shows a man and a woman scaling what appears to be the Great Pyramid of Giza with the skyline of Cairo in the background. When they reach the top, the video shows the woman taking off her shirt and finishes with a still image of them in a naked embrace. Minister of Antiquities Khalid al-Anani called it a violation of public morality and said the incident and the video will be investigated Attorney General. Ashraf Moi, the director general of the Giza Plateau, said that the online video is fake since there is heavy security and the area around appears to be brightly lighted. So
they were upset.
I would imagine. Yeah, dude. Don't you think they like cut your hand off?
Oh, they would not.
Like,
they're not thrilled about that at all.
Yeah. The video was uploaded to YouTube on Wednesday by Danish photographer Andreas Havid, who posts images on social media of different sites from high vantage points around the world, sometimes depicting nudity. So they're looking for that guy. I'm after you, buddy.
You were in that helicopter.
That's right.
Lemonhead.
And then, do I have time for one more, or do we got to wrap it?
Yeah, one more.
All right. Elvis Presley's image has been used to create action figurines, reading lamps, and Christmas ornaments. His likeness is adorned socks, slippers, and soap, and countless other products over
everything,
the
everything, man.
Since the American rock legend first got audiences all shook up. So why not traffic lights? The town of Friedberg, Germany this week installed 3 pedestrian traffic lights.
That's right. When my left nut lights up, that means you stop. When my right lights up, that means you slow down.
They incorporate images of the king. The don't walk light shows Presley at a microphone, while the walk light depicts him in his trademark dance pose, heels up, hips swiveled.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a statue where body parts lit up.
No. Presley was stationed in Friedberg from October 1958 to March 1960 while he was in the U.S. Army. And it was Friedberg that Presley met his future wife, Scylla.
Play Friedberg!
Priscilla Friedberg. Friedberg and the nearby town of Bad Nauheim are where Presley lived, are keen to keep their connection to the entertainer. Friedberg already had an Elvis Presley square and decided to add the 3 traffic lights as another attraction to the many Elvis fans who visit the town. Isn't that cool that he's just, because he was there for a couple of years, they just have adopted him?
Anywhere that has, Hawaii has a huge Elvis museum.
Yeah.
Las Vegas, needless to say.
Yeah.
I mean, their areas are all around the world.
Yeah, right.
I mean, he's always a king of rock and roll to me.
That's right, man. Relay that a bit. This is from a documentary. Right, yeah.
Black, white, Jewish, or Catholic, Elvis will always be the king of rock and roll to me.
To me.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what Elvis does.
What does that mean? Yeah.
All right. It means we need to take a break.
Yes.
And it means we got to give away some passes to Preston and Steve's Christmas Miracle!
Christmas Miracle! Yeah!
Woohoo! Dare I say it could be one of your
holiday activities.
Only if you win, though. So let's take, I'm going to take callers 15,
like 16, a billion.
15, 16, and 17. At 215-263-WMMR. And I think numbered callers for this one, all right? 15, 16, and 17. You get to join us at the Parks Casino in Bensalem and the new Excite Center Thursday, December 20th. Don't call if you're not free that morning. And don't call if you're not 21 or older, because you need those two things to be the status quo.
Well, and then also this is a bigger capacity. We're trying out a few new things. It's bigger and better is what we always try to do. But the prizage is going to be pretty wonderful.
215-263-WMMR. Call now. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us, because we'll have a lesson question for you next.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
News. The record company. Fozzy.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Dorothy, 93.3 WMMR. Dorothy has played the MMRBQ before. They're wonderful. We had Tobias Forgeon here this morning. Ghost, they played the MMRBQ. And we've got a new MMRBQ lined up for May of 2019. And I don't have the official sheet in front of me, but I'm excited to see Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. I've never seen Evanescence live, so I'm stoked to check them out.
Were they the first RBQ?
The first MMRBQ? No.
No, not the first. They played the RBQ before, did they?
Yeah, they have. But I didn't go out and see their set. And I like Amy Lee a lot. Shinedown is playing. The Struts, obviously, they're very exciting. A lot of great bands. So you can get the details at WMMR.com. And don't forget, the tickets go on sale Friday morning, 9 a.m. So we're excited about that. What do we need to do? Lesson question. But not before, once again, thanks to our friends at the Delagon 4th for coming in from Crouch Hawken. You can visit them at 4th and Fayette in Conchie, and be sure to try their famous Godfather Hoagie. You can learn more at WMMR.com, keyword deli. Did you make that while you were there, the Godfather?
No, we were going to make the Godfather, but then we ended up doing the Buffalo Chicken Explosion.
Buffalo Chicken Explosion?
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So it was between the two, and we had already done a couple of different Godfathers at other delis. And
okay.
So I called an audible. I said, Omaha, kill. And then we ended up going Buffalo Chicken Explosion.
Okay.
And it was yummy.
I love it. All right. We're going to see if somebody knows the answer to this question this morning. And you had to have been listening earlier to get it. And we'll give away an Omaha Steaks prize pack. And it's a good one, too. So what kind of clothes does Caitlyn Jenner like to wear? 215-263-WMMR. What kind of clothes does Caitlyn Jenner like to wear? Let's see if you know the answer. If you were listening, 215-263-WMMR. Nick, earlier this morning, you had a like an Instagram picture of Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, it was from her account.
That had to have been brushed up or...
Well, she was doing makeup tips with Kylie or one of her daughters.
Okay.
And...
I couldn't quite tell that was her.
Yeah. I mean,
wow. Is she getting better at it?
Yeah, much better.
Yes, it's just, it's odd to look at a person who used to be Bruce Jenner doing makeup tips. It just throws you off.
Or just the way she looked, looking better. She's learned how to do makeup.
Am I turning you on? Is that what you're saying?
It's looking, yes. I would say you are.
Yeah.
I have a friend who's had a little bit of face work done, and she herself did a side-by-side, and she calls herself Caitlyn now.
Oh, really?
I'll have to show you the picture.
And either Caitlyn has learned how to do makeup or learned how to Photoshop well. It's one or the other. Yeah. I think there might be a little bit of both.
I think there's a little of both.
All right, call now. Let's see if you know the answer. We're going to do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, this morning brought to you by Primo Hoagies, hosting family and friends. This holiday season will score big and serve in style with Primo Hoagies. Order online at PrimoHoagies.com. It's not just a hoagie. It's a Primo. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Cuban Doll, the female rapper Offset was reportedly attempting to cheat on Cardi B with, says she did not break up their marriage. Cuban Doll, who's the daughter of Beanie Baby, says she's in a serious relationship with Stretch Armstrong.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Nicki Minaj raising eyebrows with her new boyfriend, Kenneth Perry, who turns out to be a registered sex offender with a rap sheet that includes manslaughter and attempted rape. Minaj says she was a pushover for Perry and admits he had her at manslaughter.
Hey!
And finally, Beyonce and Hillary Clinton attending the wedding of the daughter of India's wealthiest oil tycoon, Mukesh Ambani, who's worth over $42 billion. Bill Clinton did not attend the festivities, saying he had interns to do, work to do. And that's your Hollywood track.
Billion! Yep. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer. To the lesson question, what kind of clothes does Caitlin like to wear? 215-263-WMMR. And our first caller in was Chris, so that's who I'm going to go to. Chris, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
All right, what kind of clothes does Caitlin Jenner like to wear?
That would be funny clothes.
Funny clothes. That's correct, Chris. Hang on. Info from you, and we're going to give you an Omaha Steaks prize pack. Buy this great package at omahasteaks.com for only $49.99 using a special discount code, and that code is Preston. You're going to love it. It's a lot of great stuff from Omaha Steaks. Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
And this morning it is brought to you by Worldwide Stereo. This year, get a gift they'll remember. See Worldwide Stereo's awesome gift guide at worldwidestereo.com, or you can head to their stores in Montgomeryville and Ardmore. Foo Fighters, Dave Grohl debuted his 23-minute instrumental project Play live on Saturday night at Warren Haynes 2018 Christmas Jam in Asheville, North Carolina.
How was it received?
I guess well, but he did
do it live!
He didn't do it all by himself. The performance featured an all-star band that included members of Queens of the Stone Age and Jane's Addiction, along with Foo Fighters producer Greg Kirsten and others. Dave first revealed the Prague epic in a documentary back in August, which showed him recording the instrumental track as he played all seven instruments, guitar, drums, Fender Rhodes, piano, synthesizers, vibraphone, tambourine, timpani, during these sessions. And Dave created the project to showcase the rewards and challenges of dedicating one's life to playing and mastering a musical instrument. Dave and Haynes, by the way, put on another show, this time in the afternoon at famed Asheville venue called the Orange Peel.
The guy just won't stop.
Featuring many of the same musicians from the night before. And the show kicked off with Play and included covers of Zeppelin's Since I've Been Loving You, Tom Petty's You Don't Know How It Feels, the Beatles' Helter Skelter, Temple of the Dog's Hunger Strike, The Who's Eminence Front,
wow,
and others, including an emotional rendition of Nirvana's All Apologies. That sounds pretty awesome.
How come they don't do those shows like here?
They need to do stuff like that.
Didn't they hear, about the dialect here? Shouldn't that?
Yeah.
Send them that segment. They'll want to come.
Come on, man.
Man.
Ex-Blink 182 guitarist Tom DeLonge's book series, Strange Times, is in development as an adult animated TV show by the TBS network.
Mm.
DeLonge said, we hope to create something that could be described as sort of a science fiction Disney. He said, this is a dream that I've had for over 10 years, and it's finally a reality. All the stories and them themes I work on are meant to be shared through multiple mediums and on different platforms, from TV, books, music, and so on. The upcoming series will be written and executive produced by Aaron Caro. DeLonge will also executive produce. The show will combine elements of comedy with his ongoing interest in otherworldly and extraterrestrial. DeLonge explained, my love for all things paranormal and skateboarding are sometimes only superseded by my love for offensive humor. The series combines them all into one. Motley Crue frontman Vince Neil is being sued by lawyers representing the singer in his assault lawsuit, claiming that he owes them nearly $190,000 in legal fees and is refusing to pay their invoices.
So was this the brouhaha, the dust-up that occurred in Las Vegas?
Sounds like that to me, yes. Neil's lawyers at Howard & Howard Attorneys, PLLC, filed court
documents. You owe some money, mother effer.
Court documents last Thursday in the matter requesting that the judge allow them to hit Neil with a lien for the money. Despite Neil's alleged failure to pay his attorneys, they say that they have continued to work on the lawsuit, which was filed back in 2016 by a woman who said that Neil attacked her outside the Aria Hotel in Las Vegas. Neil's alleged assault resulted in substantial medical expenses, lost wages, pain and suffering, and emotional distress, according to the lawsuit. She was seeking $75,000 in compensatory damages, in addition to $75,000 in punitive damages and legal fees. This is the one that Nicolas Cage had to break up, right?
Nick Cage broke up the fight.
Yeah.
Wait a second. This doesn't need to be. Stop it. Stop it.
Neil has demanded the case be thrown out, denying the allegations of wrongdoing and accusing the woman of only seeking publicity. Dude, he went after her.
Yeah.
We saw it.
Look at this picture of Vince Neil. Jesus.
He's a little pudgy.
You fat ass piece of shit.
In other crew news, bassist Nikki Sixx has revealed that he will shoot a video with 6AM in 2 weeks. The band hasn't released any new music in 2 years. And has been on hiatus since 2016, but Sixx recently hinted at fresh material from 6AM, which initially began as a musical companion piece to his memoir, The Heroin Diaries, and evolved into a full-time group. And it is a birthday today, isn't
it? It is. Yeah. The big 6-0?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sixx also said that he and Tommy Lee spent the weekend with producer Bob Rock mixing the four new songs Motley Crue has recorded for the film adaptation of the band's 2001 autobiography, The Dirt. And the movie will premiere on Netflix in March. So that's coming up. I was happy to see this. Def Leppard has won the coveted fan vote for induction into the 2019 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yep. Cleveland.com reported the band snagged 547,647 votes, followed by Stevie Nicks, who is 427,844. And the reason I like this, okay, is, listen, Stevie Nicks is an amazing musician.
She's already in.
She's already in with Fleetwood Mac, and she deserves to be in as a solo artist,
yes,
as well.
She do.
But paving the way for a band like Def Leppard is now, I think, going to let the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is going to have to look at some of these bands that are really just dismissed because they were popular.
Get a little less snooty.
And yeah, I mean, I get it. And you know, White Lion probably won't make it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
But Bon Jovi would have fallen into that realm as well.
Bon Jovi falls into that as well.
Yeah.
Def Leppard is in there. There's a whole host of bands that are in of that ilk that I think deserve to be in there as well because they had legitimate success and influence. So I'm happy for Def Leppard.
Also, as a band, they've been through a lot.
They have.
Stayed together, supported each other.
Todd Rundgren was third, followed by The Zombies and The Cure. And the other ones that were up were, and in this order, Janet Jackson, Devo, Roxy Music, Rage Against the Machine, Radiohead, John Prine, LL Cool J, Rufus featuring Chaka Khan, Kraftwerk, and then MC5 came in fifth. Fans voted on the Rock Hall site for the nominees of their choice. The top 5X will comprise a fan's ballot that will count as one of the ballots to determine the class of 2019, from what I understand. So, to be eligible for this year's ballot, each nominee, their first single or album had to be released in 1993 or earlier. For the seventh consecutive year, The public had the opportunity to vote alongside the more than 800 artists, historians, and music industry insiders of the rock and roll voting body. And there you go. So I have the music news for you. Why don't we take a break, come back in a second, get ready to wrap it up, and the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. Along with that, we shall return in a moment.
December 12th, come celebrate WMMR's opening night at the Met, starring Weezer. Join us at Philly's brand new state-of-the-art concert venue on North Broad and experience the utmost in sightlines and sound. Pierre broadcasts his show live on site, bringing you all the grandeur and excitement as MMR welcomes Weezer to Philly. Details at themetphilly.com for MMR's opening night at the Met with Weezer.
There it is. Our first Christmas song of the year that we've played on the President and Steve Show.
How about that?
The Waitresses. What a great song. Christmas rapping. I always liked their song, I Know What Boys Like.
I know what boys like.
I know what guys want. I know what boys like. Boys like. Boys like me.
That was a fun song.
It was.
About 10:35 with the Preston and Steve Show. What a morning!
What a morning!
Yeah! We talked about the disappearing Philadelphia accent.
Yes.
With Betsy Sneller. She's a linguist. Went to Penn as her PhD from Penn. And has noticed some interesting things about our dialects. Thank you. I said vernacular earlier when I realized it was the wrong thing.
Listen, we're tired.
I know. Give me a break. It's like a billion.
Santa's got to go.
Yeah. So anyhow, but it was interesting what she had to say and some things that we never really noticed about the local speak. So it was cool to talk to her. And Tobias Forge.
Yes.
Who is the head man. He's the guy behind the group Ghost.
He is Ghost.
Yeah, he is Ghost. And he was really, really nice. He speaks kind of slowly and quietly, yes. He's a very smart guy, very dynamic performer, and that band is doing great. You know?
And he's very thoughtful. That's why what people misread as him being standoffish was him really considering his answer.
Yep.
And he could not have been nicer.
He's very polite, which was cool. So they're playing at the Tower Theater tonight. Not the guy that you would expect to dress up in. Papal makeup, or, you know, papal robes and black makeup and upside down crosses and stuff like that. But he was super nice. And thank you to Delegon Forth from Crunchy for coming by this morning and dropping off some wonderful food from Dietz and Watson. And you need to check out the Real Philly Deli video, the recent one with Casey at WMMR.com. The keyword is deli. Those are always a lot of fun. Hey, Robin Lee's here.
Yeah.
Howdy.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm here because Pierre's on jury duty today.
Yeah, we heard about that. Is it jury selection or is he sitting on a jury?
Oh no, you don't know till you go, right?
Well, that's what I mean. You go for selection or you go and you sit and you wait.
Yes.
But if you've actually been chosen to sit on a jury.
Oh no, he's just going to go sit and wait.
All right.
So okay, we're going to
see if he can if he's chosen.
It's 11 angry men and one hippie.
I know. I was trying to think. I think he'd be really good at it. And then on the other hand, I think
he'd be terrible.
No, you think so?
I think because he would take a lot of time and think about it. And,
right.
And everyone would want to get home and put the guy in the electric chair.
Yeah, see, that's why we need Pierre there.
Yeah, we do.
That's why he'd be good on the jury.
Exactly. Depending
whether you're the defense or prosecution.
Mm-hmm. So you're in today.
Yes.
We need help with the letter of the day. You ready?
No.
I'm not going to give you a hard time about this.
Okay, good. Okay. Casey, are you going
to
help me?
Oh, my God. You had all this time to figure out one letter? I'll give you a letter. All right.
Come on, people.
I was talking to Marissa, and I wasn't paying attention.
All right. Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the President.
She doesn't know what you're doing.
The President and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
We're going
to
say
hey.
L.
No,
L.
He's making an L.
What was that?
You did A. It's A now.
He went YMCA.
And she was like this. I don't know. And then I was like, all right, L.
No. Hold
That's
on.
Easier.
Let's make a decision, Robin. What letters are going to be?
A.
A, as in?
Bear.
A is bear.
A. Sorry. I was doing the second letter, B-A-R-E. I am not qualified for this
job. You are not qualified for this
job. I know. As in angry.
Yes,
anxious,
which you are now.
Awful.
Awful. Good.
Oh, my God. You're awesome.
So sad. It's awesome. So sad.
A, it's okay. Simple. A is in bear.
B-A-R-E. I put you the second letter. Okay, now I'm scarlet again. Why am I always scarlet when I come in here?
Oh, my. You are blushing a little bit.
You will never live this down.
Hey, we love
as
you,
in bear.
Shush. I'm done.
That's awesome.
You couldn't come up with a letter.
You can't give me the letter anymore.
Bear is in the... A is in the word bear, if you spell it as in naked, and that's what
naked
she was meaning.
Bear. I thought in naked. I did.
Yeah. It's bear. Also in bear as in the animal.
I can't talk.
Oh, it's okay. You got some stuff planned for the show
I
today?
I do.
All
right.
She's leaving.
I am. I have tickets for Weezer at the Met, Philadelphia, tomorrow night.
Yes.
And then for the Workforce Blocks, I have AC/DC.
AC/DC!
Oh, yeah, that'd have been good.
Yeah, that'd have been good. Yeah, yes.
Dave Matthews Band at the Wells Fargo Center tonight and Ghost tonight at the Tower.
Ah, all right. Okay, cool.
Awesome.
All right, thank you, Robin. Have fun today.
Thank you.
I'm going to thank our sponsors, Preston and Steve Show, brought today by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show.
Hey, Acme.
Also brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin' and Wilmington University. Classes start January 14th. Visit wilmu.edu tomorrow. Ah! It's our yearly chat with Mr. Skin.
Ah.
Actually, we talk to him a couple times a year, but I love talking to Mr. Skin. So he is on tomorrow. We go live on Fox Good Day since it is a Wednesday. Kathy, are you doing your holiday activities tomorrow with him, or is that Thursday?
That's Thursday, okay. Yeah.
And then some new members of the Philadelphia Wings will be in our studio.
I'm so excited the Wings are back.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun going to those games. So that is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
They need to reband celebrations in the end zone. If I got to watch anybody take a fake selfie in the end zone anymore, I might have to turn on another damn channel. Give me a damn break.
Next message.
Kathy, I need some advice. What kind of wine goes with chicken nuggets?
Next message.
Yeah, so I'm waiting three people deep for the free air because I'm too cheap to spend 75 cents for air. And this son of a bitch just pulls right the f*** in front of us. Sneaky little bastard. I just want to rip the hose off and throw it down his throat, choke the little f***. Get the f*** out of here. Get in line.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.